much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
You know, I think it's just downright disgusting, the poor abuse you guys heap on Sarah Jessica Parker, saying she's a horse-faced, saying she's Secretariat, making fun of her, this and that. You are just being mean for the sake of being mean. Now, if you don't mind, I have to go have lunch with Kabori Sidibe. That is all.
There are a couple of homos.
Okay, just cool it. Life is a breeze. Of course, some breezes, as you know, are 110 miles an hour and get promoted up the hurricanes. I just thought I'd pass that along.
And now,
how's that working out for you?
Our feature presentation.
I miss that old crazy man.
Me too. Drunk Larry King's one of the best things you'll ever hear.
Larry King, 700 years old. He spent like 400 years on the radio overnight talking to crazy people. And then the next 300 years he spent on CNN and got
talking to other crazy people.
Got really, really crazy. So that's when I started liking him, and now he's going to step down.
Hey, yeah, I'm going to miss him too. Yeah. Hey, why not pick up the phone? Why not give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. That is the toll-free number for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. You give us a call, you get on the air, you get a prize. That's how that works every day. I have a question for you. Craigslist, one of the great inventions of all time.
Yes.
We've had Craig himself on the show. It's been a number of years since he invented that in San Francisco. And it basically – I mean, that's – say what you will about people reading news online, that has hurt the newspaper industry.
Right.
Craigslist has hurt the newspaper industry more than anything because that's the money. They used to make their money on classifieds.
Yeah, true.
And now they don't because would you ever put an ad in the paper anymore?
No.
You probably reach way more people going on Craigslist, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And it's free. So, but what is it about Craigslist that's so sketchy? Why are there so many stories of things that go wrong on Craigslist?
Because I don't think there's anybody, you know, monitoring it. Any jackhole can just go put anything they want on there.
Right, but for decades, people sold cars on the classifieds.
Right.
And I don't remember ever hearing about a story, and you see them all the time with people who get ripped off or shot, or I got a story I'm going to do for you here in a second, where, you know, bad things happen because you advertise your car on Craigslist.
Yeah.
I never remember that happening with newspapers. I don't know what it is. And maybe it was just too many steps to go through for the crooks to bother.
But it's much easier just to do it from your home if you're – yeah, that makes sense.
Maybe so. Well, here's a story from West Covina, California. Two guys were on Craigslist, and they saw an automobile that they were interested in buying. It was a older model black Lincoln, all right?
Okay.
So they show up. They bring their $3,000. Two Armenian men in their 30s meet them with the car. Glendale Adid.
Beat them with the car?
Meet them with the car. Produce a .45 caliber weapon, steal the men's $3,000, which is what the price was that they were advertising for the car. So these guys show up with their money thinking, hey, we've got the cash. We're going to buy this car. This is going to be sweet, right? They get there. The guys come out with a gun, take the $3,000, and then pepper spray the guys and drive away in the car.
Glendale!
And I'm sure they used, you know, they didn't give out any kind of personal information in the Craigslist. That I'm sure there's no names. I'm sure there's no phone number or anything like that these guys can be tracked down.
Sure. Wow.
But I mean, you see stories like this all the time. And it's funny how Craigslist is so much sketchier than the newspaper.
Do you think the guy was on the ground rolling around going, hey, what about the car? What about that?
I mean, that sucks if you hand over the money and you still get pepper sprayed. It seems like you're kind of handing over the money so that you don't get pepper sprayed.
Pepper spray is not fun.
No, not fun at all.
It hurts, makes it hard to breathe.
But I guess they wanted to make sure the guys wouldn't immediately, you know, run and tell that homeboy.
Sure.
So let's disable them for a while to give us a chance to get away. So anyway, there's your lesson of the day.
All right.
Buy a Lincoln Continental from a couple of Armenian guys. Look out.
Craigslist is shaky is, I think, the message.
Right. And the bigger point is that Craigslist is effing sketchy.
Right. Exactly. All right. Time for your phone calls. Any topic is fine. You get on the air and we give you a prize. It's 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You
What'd he do, nephew?
Well, you know the number now. Here's the prize. A pair of tickets to Six Flags Magic Mountains Freight Fest presented by Snickers. Now open October Fridays through Sundays through Halloween night. Why don't we start with, we got Oliver on the line, who's got a Craigslist story of his own. He's on line one, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Oliver, what'd it do?
What'd it do? Good morning, guys.
You don't hear a lot of Oliver. You don't hear that name much,
no,
do you?
No, I hope that's coming back. That's a good name.
What's going on? And I'm Mexican, too, so you can't.
Really?
You're weird. Mexican, Oliver.
Okay. Odd.
Wow. Yeah.
What do you call it about?
Okay, so you guys were talking about the Craigslist ad. I did get arrested for buying a car on Craigslist. Me and my friend thought it was a good idea to start, you know, flipping cars, and we would buy them off Craigslist and, you know, put them out on the street and, you know, try to make some profit off it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So he found a car, and he's like, okay, look, I found, like, a 1999 Honda Accord for, like, I think it was, like, $1,000. I was like, okay, cool. So I put in $500. He went to put the other $500, and we ended up in Fontana. So we're like, okay. I didn't want to get out. I stayed in the car. I'm like, you know what? You made the deal. I'll just stay in here. He went out, checked out the car. The guys were like, well, you know, we don't got the biggie person or anything, but just here. Take $1,000. You can make a lot of money off it.
Oh.
So he's like, okay. So
we don't have the papers as code for we don't know who owns it, right?
Exactly. So yeah. I didn't know. Anyways, he's like, okay, cool. I follow him, and as soon as I start following him, man, about 10 like cop cars, not cop cars, actually like undercover cars, pull us over. Turned out it was a sting.
All right.
Oh, so we end up,
it was a sting. Wait a minute.
So, yeah, so we ended up getting arrested, and then, you know, we went to court and everything, and, you know, he pretty much took the blame because I didn't know anything about it, and he's like, yo, you know, we didn't know, and
Hold on, Oliver, hold on. You weren't doing anything illegal to your knowledge, though. This isn't like soliciting a prostitute where you know it's illegal. I mean, you didn't know it was a stolen car.
No, your friend didn't know.
But your friend, even your friend, though, didn't know it was a stolen car.
Well,
he just knows these guys advertised it, right?
Exactly. Well, it's kind of like entrapment.
That's totally entrapment. That's on the advertiser, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't believe they would arrest you guys for that. That doesn't seem right at all.
Yes and no, because, like, if you bought a firearm, you'd need some paperwork. You need a title. Same with a car. I mean, so many cars are stolen and then resold on secondhand places like Craigslist. The owner of the car can't produce a title, you should know better. I mean,
I agree.
It's not like he meant to do anything wrong.
Right.
Oliver didn't mean to do anything wrong. But
it's the police saying we have a car and then just give us $1,000 and then busted them, that seems odd.
I'm thinking that Oliver has learned his lesson, but you can't just drive away with a car when the owner says, I ain't got any paperwork, but here, Jacob, give me cash, we're good. Think about that.
I'm fine with that system.
I've got most of my cars.
Yeah, I like
you know, it.
It
works
well. Unfortunately, Oliver lost his cell phone, so we don't have any follow-up on what happened, but I assume that they got out of it eventually. I assume they worked their way out of it. All right, one more real quick. This is going to be Marilyn. Hey, Marilyn. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd it do?
What's going on? No baby boo. So
no baby boo.
Good morning, Starshine, to Oliver.
What's going on?
God.
Vague reference. Sorry.
Vague. You're going to put you in the file.
Wow.
That's a reference from a song from about what? 1969. Nice
Good morning,
work.
Starshine.
All right. Go ahead. Real quick. We're almost out of time.
This chick in Argentina, she's a cop, and she plowed into a semi. An 18-wheeler. She just drove into it and got nailed, and all she did was get a broken shoulder and bruised.
She ran into a semi with a motorcycle.
She drove into. She didn't run. She was driving.
Okay.
Bad cop.
Yeah.
Good cop. Can't tell.
That's odd.
Stupid cop. I think Argentina's trying to detract from the Chilean miners. She's a tough chick. Whoa. Not like
what's going on with Marilyn?
All right,
wow,
Marilyn.
What a pointless story, poorly told.
Marilyn
is doing her own show.
Is really high right now.
Yeah, I think she's really. I think Marilyn, this one's for you.
I'm going to speak very slowly because you're probably stoned right now.
There you go. Do you think Chip put up that Marilyn was calling about a Southern American? Do you think Chip put that up on the call screener instead of a South American? Because it's a Southern American, you got to be from Georgia or Mississippi, right? A South American, yeah, now we're talking Argentina. Is Chip the new Cleo? I'm concerned.
It could be. Certainly could be, because Southern American is not a way
it's
to
definitely,
say it.
Definitely not Argentina, I'll tell you that.
All right. Nicely done, though. And a story well told.
Yeah.
All right.
Glad we heard that.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I disagree with everything you've said.
I just said let's talk about the show today. That's it.
Not now, Kevin.
We have a paranormal activity expert on the program today named Chris Chacon. We have Mila Jovovich. I think I'm saying her name right now. Yeah, she's in Stone. And she's something. She's way hot.
She's a great actress, too.
We have Rich Eisen from the NFL Network on today's program. I don't know if you saw this, but the Vatican newspaper has come out and made an announcement that Homer Simpson is indeed Catholic.
It's interesting because I thought that Homer Simpson was animated.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what they're doing in Vatican City, but apparently they've solved all other problems. So now they're going down the list of cartoon characters to see what religion they are. But they made that announcement.
Okay.
Good times. Internet Roundup, we got a new one for you. And Joe Rogan, comedian and UFC announcer, is also going to be in the studio today. We'll take a break and come back with the showbiz.
And now, a moment with Bean.
That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, you didn't mention
Well said.
That was a moment with Bean. In Bean's defense, you didn't mention Arisana.
I didn't. No.
Because Kevin didn't also have a stroke. That's why.
No one mentioned that.
Ariane Celeste is who I was trying to say and had trouble with that name. She's the Octagon girl from the UFC, and we will talk to her coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean
She's
Show.
She's also on the current cover of Playboy.
Yes. She is awfully attractive. And by the way, how about the listener yesterday who sent us every photo in the Playboy and the photos that didn't make it into the Playboy. Yeah. How about that?
Good call.
Yeah. How about that guy?
Yeah, that guy needs an award of some kind.
And some chafing lotion.
We need to be very nice to him because I think we could be friends with that guy for a long time. So thank you, sir. Anyway, Ariane Celeste coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's going on?
Ah, Mr. C. Mr. C's gone.
Mr. C.
Mr. Cunningham.
Oh. Oh, from Happy Days?
Happy Days. Tom Bosley, yeah. Mm. Apparently passed away yesterday at his home in Rancho Mirage, California.
He was still alive?
Out there in the desert. Yes, Kevin, he was still alive.
All right.
Much to your chagrin.
No, I don't care.
He was still living and still having a very happy life.
He was playing the role of a parent in 1950. Seems like...
Well, the actual series wasn't from the 50s. It was actually made in the 70s, so he wasn't as old as you may think.
How much do I care, really?
Well,
just explain.
You may not care about any of this, but I still have a job to do.
I got
to talk about show business. So.
Kevin would like it if everyone died within a month of when they stopped being useful to him, Ralph.
Apparently.
That'd be cool.
Kevin's got no time for the Father Dowling Mysteries either, by the way.
Oh,
I guarantee
Father
that.
Father Dowling Mysteries.
I don't even know what that means.
That was his other hit series that he was on for several years.
Don't forget, he also was the sheriff on Murder, She Wrote for many seasons.
Yeah, there you go.
He won a Tony, by the way, for a Broadway musical before he ever got into television.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
Tom Bosley, Mr. Cunningham.
Tom
we all
Bosley.
Grew up with Mr. Cunningham.
All right.
Whoa, Mr. C. Hey, come on.
Fonzie, you have to get this motorcycle out of the living room.
Come on. Kevin, have a
Look,
heart.
Fine, whatever.
Happy days.
He
probably hated it. He probably hated it because it was called Happy Days. He wished it was called Crappy Days. That would be better for you because you don't like anything that has any happiness in
that
it.
That is not true.
Kevin is not only angry that... Kevin is basically not sad that he died. He's angry that he lived as long as he did.
Oh, is he still alive? I hate that.
Who
life.
Gives a damn?
What a waste of time. He's old.
Lea Michele of Glee. Speaking of pictures, have you seen the GQ layout?
Indeed.
Jesus.
And why is Omar bad? Why does Omar refuse to admit how pretty she is?
She's hot in that layout, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
She out-hots Diana Agron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was... You know, of course, Quinn on that show, the blonde, sexy cheerleader.
Because normally much hotter.
Yeah, and she's like obviously, you know, posing for the pictures. But Leah's like, it's my boobs, and I'm going to just sit spread-legged on the bench here in the locker room. I'm going to lick a lollipop while I go into my locker. She's working it. Anyway, she says when she was a teenager, as you can imagine, she was under a lot of pressure to get a nose job.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But her mother always said, no, do not do it. For the same reasons that Barbra Streisand always refused to do it. There was a fear if you change that plumbing at all, you can change the quality and tone of your voice. And Lea Michele obviously is gifted with a beautiful voice, so she did not buckle to that pressure. And now she's glad. And she agrees with her mom, and she says she has some choice words for the people that are trying to force her to change her nose. And she doesn't say what those words are, but I imagine one starts with an F.
Fun?
fun. Yes, Kevin.
Okay.
Fun.
Glee is certainly doing everything it can to force the network to move it out at 8 p.m. I'll tell you that.
Meaning?
They're sexing it up so much that now every week it seems like parents are complaining. In a photo shoot like this, you know, there are people who are going, hey, this is their stuff.
Are they getting too steamy for you, Grandpa?
Not for me. I love it, but I'm just saying.
Trust me.
Bean is just saying.
Everybody's happy with it. Everybody. The PTC, notwithstanding. Notwithstanding. Speaking of religion and television, as I heard you guys mention earlier this morning, the Vatican has announced that the Simpsons are Catholic. Congratulations. Apparently, a Jesuit priest says he studied an episode from 2005 that featured the family praying before dinner and noticed current recurring religious themes in that episode that align them with the Catholic faith. Now, executive producer Al Jean has made a statement, and he disagrees with their findings. I guess he would know. He's one of the creators of the show. He said the Simpsons have always attended a Presbyterian Lutheran church. The Presbyterian Lutheran First Church of Springfield. And he says there's no way Homer could make it through a Friday without eating meat. So he may have a point.
I've never heard of that religion.
The Presbyterian Lutherans?
Mm-mm.
Oh, they're good. Mm. Jesse James looks like he's serious about settling down in Texas, where he has made his new home. TMZ.com is reporting that he's planning to shut down West Coast Choppers.
See the emails from Lightning last night?
Yeah, it's going to do. You got to break the news. It's the latest news.
I'm pretty sure he was on the ground in the fetal position sobbing when he sent it.
This is bad news for Long Beach, California.
They're closed.
Guys, there's no place else to buy a motorcycle. Come on.
Well, I think Lightning thought Jesse James would be West Coast for life. That's what I'm guessing.
That's a disappointment, yeah. Is he no longer fresh to death either?
I believe he is. He is focusing his business near his new life down there in Texas, and so we'll be closing the Long Beach, California shop, much to the sadness of people like Lightning everywhere.
I'm only a little bit surprised because it's such an established brand, and I understood it to be quite a moneymaker. It seems like it's still the type of thing he could even run from afar, you know?
This is Us Weekly magazine. They have a new thing now. Their new favorite thing is to send out lists of things you didn't know about celebrities. This is their new thing.
Lists of things you didn't know.
Hey, Carrot Top was once bitten by a scorpion. It's a strange list of things you really didn't care to know about the celebrities and no real interest.
The list is things you don't know, but it also happens to be things you don't need to know or care.
I wouldn't be like, oh, I wish I had known that.
Okay.
For example, Jenny McCarthy is allergic to wine and garlic. You know, it doesn't really make a difference to me, in my opinion, if Jenny McCarthy one way or the other.
That is an odd thing to put out.
It really does not matter so much. She doesn't like wearing perfume, they say here. Once again.
Okay.
I'm not getting rattled by that information. That's shocking. This isn't a scoop in any way.
I'm getting rattled.
I guess Us Weekly magazine just needs to stop it.
I'm going to have to go home and just recalibrate my life. I'm not sure how to work that in.
I am usually a fan of the kind of fact that you can do nothing with.
Oh, I know.
You love that.
The kind of information that you hear and you go, yep, there it is. But I'm with you on this, Ralph. I don't know how to process that.
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't give her any wine and garlic sauces if I had her over for dinner. That's the only real change you would make in my life. Really. Ah, lad, Dancing with the Stars last night. So sad. So sad, Kevin. I'm sure you're probably shaken to your core.
No!
By what happened.
No!
I don't know what happened.
Despite the fact that Bristol Palin and the situation were in the bottom of the vote-getting, Florence Henderson was kicked off the show. Mrs. Brady.
Was she the one in the bear suit from the night before?
There was no bear suit. It was a monkey suit. And
Kevin
was Crystal
saw
Palin.
A bear suit.
It was Bristol Palin. And she continues, somehow, to stay on the show while Florence Henderson, who actually can dance and did very well, has now been booted off the show.
So the judges are there just like American Idol. They don't really have any say.
They just suggest.
Okay.
They give them a best top, how many out of 10
right.
each. You can get 30 would be a perfect score.
But that doesn't count into your scores.
No, they take the phone calls from the viewers at home. So
got it.
I'm sure the entire state of Alaska lights up every Tuesday night with their votes. So
that's a good point.
Yeah. And this is interesting news. They are planning a Alien prequel.
Alien prequel.
Yes. The story of Alien before even Alien kicks off. Same monster, different cast, different director. And actually, they're considering Ridley Scott, the original director.
Oh.
But the casting news, this is quite the battle. Apparently, it's between Keira Knightley and Natalie Portman for who takes over in sort of the Sigourney Weaver role as the hard-bitten...
Both seem like they could do that.
Tough young lady who has to fight the alien. I give Keira Knightley a little bit of the edge, only because I saw that movie Domino she did, where she played a bounty hunter.
Oh, yeah. That was...
And she was a very sort of convincing badass.
She was a badass in that, yeah.
So I think I'd like to see her in this role. But either way, I think we win, right, fellas?
Yeah.
Imagine her all slopped up with alien goop and stuff and getting all slimy and whatnot. Either way, it's a good visual of those two actresses. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actor John Krasinski, you know him, of course, as Jim from The Office. He is 31 years old today. Snoop Dogg!
Snoop.
What it do, nephew? Snoop. He's 39 years old today. Actor Viggo Mortensen is 52 years old. And he has a tail.
Tail.
Director Danny Boyle, who's the director of the upcoming 127 Hours.
Looks great.
Which looks just so depressing.
Yeah, but great.
James Franco in a crevasse cutting his arm off. That's not good for anybody, right? I hope he bangs Amber Tamblyn and her little friend before drops down into the crevasse.
Me too.
At least he goes out happy. And a musician Tom Petty celebrates his 60th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Bill Rogan on the show later on today. Also, our friend Rich Eisen from the NFL Network. And in just a few minutes, we'll talk to Mila Jovovich. By the way, I can't wait to talk to her about how she did that that Bucano in the movie. I mean,
no,
it's just like crazy
that
somebody
her.
As hot as her would
different movie.
Play.
That's I'm not talking wasn't about, her. She's in Stone. She's not in Jackass.
Oh, right. She's in the De Niro movie, not
yes.
the Knoxville. Okay.
Correct, yes.
All right, so we'll talk to Mila coming up here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, what's going on with our friends, The Simpsons?
Well, the Catholic Church, this is the Green Day version of the theme. The Catholic Church, apparently, the Vatican has an official newspaper. And the official Vatican newspaper has declared that not only Homer, but also Bart Simpson are Catholic.
Yay!
Now, I didn't know that this was any kind of a question. I didn't know anyone cared. I'm surprised that they came out with this, but apparently the newspaper cited a study by a Jesuit priest of 2005. The episode was called The Father, the Son, and the Holy Guest Star. And this Jesuit priest studied it and said there were a lot of references in the prayer before dinners and stuff like that. And that led him to believe that Homer Simpson is a Catholic. Now, why did the announcement get put out today? I don't know.
And why would the Vatican want to claim The Simpsons? Doesn't seem like the type. It seems like a way too racy a show for them to endorse. But who do we have? Are we talking to the Jesuit priest then on the phone?
I believe we have Homer.
Oh!
Himself.
Even better. Yes. Homer J. Simpson, how are you?
Hello.
How are you?
I'm sorry, I'm not a priest. Oh, we just talked to Homer. He's not a priest.
No, we're delighted to have you on, Homer. How are things in Springfield today?
Never been better. Good. I took the day off of work so I could be on the radio. Woohoo!
The whole day off?
Yes.
All right.
I needed to sit and gather my thoughts.
Because this is only going to take like 5 minutes, Homer. Then you can go to the plant if you want.
No!
Okay.
No, or not.
Then I'm going to do an isotopes game and drink some Duff.
Duff is good.
Homer is the expert at product placement
Why
already.
Why is beer so good?
It just is. Hey, so what about this story? Were you and Bart surprised to find out that you've essentially been outed as Catholics by the Vatican itself?
First of all, there's nothing wrong with being a Catholic.
No, certainly not.
In fact, many of today's cartoon heroes are starting to release their religions.
I haven't seen any of that list.
Yes, you will see it soon, I'm
okay.
sure.
All right.
In fact, Spider-Man's a Jew. Did you know that?
No, but how?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yes, he has a little yarmulke made of webs on his head.
Okay.
Scooby-Doo.
Woohoo,
Scooby-Doo!
Yeah?
He's a Scientologist.
What?
Yes. Him and Shaggy are gay, but they're trying to get straight. So they go get clear.
I see.
Yogi Bear is a Buddhist.
A Buddhist? Yes. A Buddhist bear?
Yes. His buddy Boo-Boo is a Boo-Buddhist.
Come on, Homer.
The Smurfs are Mormons.
Yes. Okay.
That's why they have so many wives.
Ah.
They all live in a commune.
Mm-hmm.
A blue commune.
Right.
I bet they do.
Dora the Explorer practices Santeria.
Really?
Oh, that doesn't seem likely, Homer.
That's for little kids, that
and
show.
And they've got a crystal ball, too.
Is that right?
I've seen it. That's what the little monkey's carrying in his boots.
Is that right?
Yes. The Simpsons are, in fact, Catholic.
You're not that Catholic.
What does that mean?
I'm asking you if... I thought you just said the Simpsons aren't that Catholic.
Are, in fact, Catholic.
Okay, all right.
Why don't you listen to me?
It's difficult to understand you sometimes. I apologize.
Yes, we go every Sunday, and we get wine and wafers. Wafers.
So
Catholicism is the only religion where you can eat while you're at church. That's why I like it.
That's why you pick it?
Oh, that's a good point.
Yes, wafers with powdered sugar and sprinkles on them.
Now, Homer, what do you pray? This episode that's referenced in the article talks about a Catholic prayer that you did before dinner. What is it you say to the family?
I say, "Dear God, if you're listening, please kill Ned Flanders."
Right.
Oh, poor Ned. He's just trying to be a good neighbor.
And have Mr. Burns remember my name.
Yeah,
that's got to hurt.
How's that working out for you?
Not so well.
Right.
In fact, we may leave Catholicism.
Oh, no.
Since Bart got fondled by that priest.
Oh, come on.
I didn't see that episode.
Oh, it was very disturbing.
Wow.
He made Bart say cowabunga, but not in a good way.
Oh, geez.
In the bunga, you know what I mean?
Okay, all right.
You get what I mean there?
We get exactly what you mean there.
Can I draw you a picture?
Nope, we got it. Thank you, Homer.
We're going to talk to Mila Jovovich here in just a second on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, before we get her on the phone, you know, today is the 19th of October, Kevin. That means Halloween's almost here. Come on.
Halloween, Halloween, ooh, Halloween. Ghostly things are gonna happen.
Actually getting some complaints lately from Kevin and Bean listeners who say, "Hey, why no Halloween spooks this year? Where's my Halloween spooks?"
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they are. I'm sure you're getting...
Halloween spooks outside my window. Halloween spooks behind the tree. I wish that the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window pane.
Is this where the song loses you?
Well, this is the part where they're trying to sound like ghosts, if I'm not mistaken, right?
That is correct.
This is the scary, spooky part of the song, right?
Yes, that is what they are intending to do. So usually we get out of it right before that part, but I find the whole thing mildly entertaining.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. A couple weeks ago, we had the rare pleasure of talking to the great actor Ed Norton about his new film called Stone, which I am embarrassed to say I still haven't seen because, man, do I love that dude, and man, do I love Mr. De Niro, and man, do I love our next guest, Mila Jovovich, who joins us on the phone. She's also in Stone, and it's great to have you back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mila, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Very good.
Always great to talk to you. This is pretty rare for you to have almost back-to-back movies coming out in theaters, but Resident Evil last month, and here you are back again with Stone. Busy time.
Yes, it has been a crazy year, but awesome.
Yeah, we had a conversation after Resident Evil Afterlife about the fact that zombies no longer walk slowly. They can run and climb. And that seems like it's getting much worse for human beings.
I think that's why it's so much scarier for people. I think that's why so many, especially of our listeners, have these zombie escape plans now, is because they used to just go, it's going to be easy to get away from those guys. But now they realize they need an actual plan. So you probably spend a lot of time working on your own zombie plan, I would imagine, Mila, as involved as you are in it.
Oh, yeah. You know, I tell everybody on Twitter, it's like, zombies come out, I'll tweet you guys my address, and it's barbecue at Mila's house.
Nice.
All right, let's talk about this Stone. Just as I said how much I love Edward Norton and Robert De Niro as a film goer, I can't imagine what it's like to be an actor or actress that gets to be in a movie with them. Is that a crazy phone call when you realize you get this role?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I worked hard to get it, and Edward was very supportive of me actually getting the part and getting the audition to begin with, because he's a big fan of Spike Lee, and he saw He Got Game a long time ago, and so he really wanted John Curran, the director, to see me for it, and John loved the audition, and I met with him a few times, and then I finally got in the room with Edward and Bob, and it was very nerve-wracking at that time because, you know, I hadn't gotten the part yet, and, you know, I really, of course, wanted to work with them like any actor would. And Edward was so funny. He said, you know, from the neck up, you were like cool as a cucumber, and from the neck down, you were shaking like a loose.
Does there ever come a time... I'm sorry. I know that. I think we're having a little bit of delay on the phone. I apologize.
We're just all talking at the same time.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, we're excited. I'm sorry. You've been acting for a long time. You've been in a lot of great movies with a lot of great people. But does there ever come a time where you forget for a second that it's freaking Robert De Niro and he's just another guy on set in a movie? Are you ever able to put that out of your mind and look at him and see anything other than Robert De Niro?
No, that's a an interesting question because, you know, Edward, who had worked with him before, said, you know, Robert's work really precedes him into a room, and you have to be very careful about that because you have your process and he has his own, and you can't take it personally and let him throw you off if he's not doing what you want him to do or if something's not working for him. You have to allow him to have his process and don't let yours go, you know, don't let yours get lost. And that was great to hear because any time that I felt like Bob wasn't getting the scene or he would be, you know, he's always trying to find the truth in a scenario. And just because the script says he has to do something doesn't mean he's going to do it until he finds an honest reason for himself to do it. So, you know, it's definitely, he makes you earn the scene in effect. And so hearing that from Edward was great because I really did put it out of my head. I mean, it's one of those things, like, as an actor, and I was talking to an amazing photographer friend of mine yesterday about this, funnily enough, was when she's taking pictures or when I hear action, even if it's freezing, I'm not cold.
What?
Like, it's like this weird thing that happens when you're creating something and you're getting into another zone. That even, you know, I mean, I filmed movies in, you know, 30 degrees below zero, and literally I'm, like, shaking, and as soon as I say action, it's like I go into another place, and, you know, you don't think about it, because you're in character, and you're in the moment.
Right.
And it's wild, because definitely, you know, of course, I was very respectful with Robert, but Edward and I put him through the loop on this one. I mean, poor guy, he really gets tortured by
well, certainly, I mean, certainly at one point of the movie, I mean, the whole thing is that Edward is a convicted arsonist and he wants to get out of jail, and Robert De Niro is a parole officer, and you kind of go seduce Robert De Niro. At that point, or Bob, as we call him in the business, at that point, now you're coming on to him. That's got to make it even harder to go, hey, this is just a character, not Robert De Niro, Bob De Niro.
You know, I think intimacy in films is always a bit of a funny thing for actors. You know, obviously, a lot of us have spouses and, you know, significant others and things like that. So
sure.
It's always very strange to have any sort of intimacy with people that you don't know, you know, especially for work. So, you know, I think it wasn't him in particular. I think for me, and I think I can speak for a lot of actresses, I mean, it's just, it's tough. I mean, you know, nobody likes to you know, get too close to people that they're not, you know, they're right. Not with, or they're not, you know, like, attractive. I mean,
right, but
like,
you have to...
Robert De Niro is attractive, but, I mean, and whatever, you know, I've got a husband and a baby, so...
Right, but you do have to make it believable.
I mean, it was a tough movie for me in that sense, because she is a very predatorial, is that a word?
I don't think so, but I think we know what it means.
You get it, right?
Yeah.
She's a predator. I mean, she really is. Like, I had a lot of references when I was working on the film of, like, wolves and sharks and, you know, like, birds, like, the animals that go out and hunt. And they're beautiful, and they're full of life, you know, and she's got a real joy about her. But at the same time, she's very ominous and she's very dangerous.
Interesting.
But it doesn't take away from her innocence as well. And what's dangerous about my character in Stone is that she doesn't even realize, you know, that you can't trust her. You know, so it's one of those things where she believes what she's doing and she believes what she's saying. She's not bad, do you know what I mean? But
right.
If you listen to her, you're going to get in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know how you don't.
It added a really great dimension, I think, to the whole character was that feeling of you know, you can't trust her because she doesn't get it herself, you know, and that's where the danger comes in. And those are the most dangerous people, in a sense, is the ones that don't even realize that what they're doing is wrong.
I love that so long after you film this movie, you still have such passion for this character that you played. It must, I mean, that's what shows that it really made an impact on you, is you got inside this person's skin and found out what they were like. And it's interesting, as I look over the films you've done, Mila Jovovich, on the phone with us here on the Kevin Bean Show, you know, you're a model and so beautiful, yet you have very rarely, at least in my memory, done movies that have had so much overt sexuality in them. Is that was that by design, or you're just waiting for the right role where it made sense for you?
You know, I guess I did a movie called 45 a long time ago that kind of never saw the light of day. It was an independent film, and you know, I make a lot of indies that not a lot of people get to see, and you know, but and it was a very sexual movie, but it was also you know, about
keep talking. I'm on Netflix right now.
And, I'm sorry?
You keep going. I'm on Netflix right now, changing my cue. 45, it's called. Got it.
But, you know, it's a movie about abuse, and it's a movie about verbal abuse and physical abuse and being in abusive relationships. So, you know, it wasn't like, oh, I'm playing. You know, it's funny because actually I've never really played, like, a girlfriend role. And I was thinking about that going, it'd be really fun to just be, like, the girlfriend in a movie because – like, The Perfect Getaway, when I did that, it was, like, the closest I've ever gotten to just being, like, a cool, sweet, nice, kind of touristy, like, hey, how's it going kind of character.
Yeah. No, you kick ass much more.
For some reason, I always tend to gravitate towards kind of these fringe movies. And, I mean, even Resident Evil, my goodness, when we first made that, it was a tiny European action horror flick and based on my little brother's favorite video game. And I was like, all right, cool, whatever. It was like this fringe movie that turned into this juggernaut. But, you know, it's funny how definitely I feel like I need to sort of play more, like, can I just play, like, a model in a film? Like, a really glamorous
role? That's what we're saying.
That's
our point. That's
exactly what we're saying.
We're saying you need to go more overtly sexual, is what we're saying.
All right. We are, unfortunately, out of time.
Be, like, in some, like, you know, Revenge of the Nerds, like,
fine.
Hawaii.
Yes.
There you go. Revenge of the Nerds, Hawaii. Please, let's get that going. I'm going to start spreading that rumor that you've agreed to star in that. All right. We always enjoy having you on the show. You're such a fascinating person, Mila. The movie looks great. I apologize that I haven't had a chance to see it yet, but, man, I sure will. Edward Norton, Robert De Niro, and Mila Jovovich, on the phone right now. The film is called Stone. It is in theaters now. Thanks so much for spending the time with us on the Kevin Bean Show. We really enjoyed it.
Love you guys. Have
Thanks.
A great day.
Thanks. You too. Bye now. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. Listen all week long to R.I.P. with S.T.P. See what we did with the letters there?
File.
Listen, PDQ.
Score tickets and passes to the K-Rock Creep
WTF.
Show. After party with the band. One lucky listener gets Stop It. One listener gets killer seats in the front row and a private first to the show. So that's coming up on the world-famous K-Rock.
You're really PO'd.
653.
The FBI!
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday. We've got a real-life ghost hunter. That's what he does, this paranormal expert that we're talking to coming up after the top of the hour. He looks for ghosts, right? That's his thing?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll find out what that's all about on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And Rich Eisen from the NFL Network next hour. Now, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. What's up, Ralph?
Are you really confused by the title Ghost Hunter, Bean? You having a hard time figuring out what that profession's all about?
That's not what his show is or what he's called.
He's a paranormal activity expert. So that would include ghosts, but I don't know if there's more to it or not.
Oh.
We don't know. You know how much research we do.
All I know is it's BS. That's all I know.
That's my fear as well.
Yeah.
And a lot of people get angry this time of year when we talk to people like this. But
I'm one of them.
People enjoy angry? It, though. Yeah. People enjoy stuff like this.
Yeah.
People believe.
I know. Look, we do several things where the phones blow up all the time, and you can't argue with people's interest.
Psychic is one of them.
Psychics is one of them. Astrologers is another one.
Sure.
Paranormal activity experts is another one. I mean,
I'm with you guys. I don't believe in any of it, but I just look at it from an entertainment standpoint.
You cannot deny people's interest, and they want to hear these people, and they want to talk to them. So, oh, what was that? Oh, sorry. I thought I saw a spirit at the corner of my eye. Did you feel that chill?
Plus,
felt a chill. I just felt a chill. Oh, the temperature just dropped about 10 degrees.
That's how they all go.
I definitely got a sense that something was in the room with me.
And we're going to want to talk to you if you've had that experience, but... You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You're with me, right?
Exactly, Kevin. You've never been more articulate.
I mean, really, don't be lame when you call. That's what I'm saying. We really want some real ones.
One time, I couldn't find my keys.
Right, that's not it.
Then my keys were in my purse, and I know I left them on the table. I think a ghost moved them.
Those are the grandma calls we don't want. Anyway, so that's coming up next.
My grandma always kept her keys in her purse. That's how I knew it was her. She sent me a message from the great beyond. Cut me some slack. Speaking of the great beyond... Let's see if we can get in touch with Tom Bosley.
Oh,
Mr. C, if you can hear us, please give us a sign.
Fonzie.
Hey, it's him. He's here. He's in the room.
Wow. Are you doing a one-man play?
Yes. Yeah, Mr. C's gone at the age of 83 years old. He not only was Mr. Cunningham on Happy Days. Remember what Mr. Cunningham did for a living, Kevin? You remember
not
his,
at all.
You remember what his profession was?
Nope.
He owned his own kind of store. What kind of store was that, Kevin?
Adult sex toys?
Yes, it was an adult sex toy store.
All right, good.
In Milwaukee in the 1950s.
I don't know what it was.
He had a hardware store.
A hardware store,
Cunningham's
sure.
Hardware. Come on.
Sure, yeah.
He was also on Murder, She Wrote for many years with Angela Lansbury. Had his own series, Father Dowling's Mysteries. Very successful, long career. So congratulations on a good career, but, you know.
Less of one now.
Sorry about the whole dead thing. You know who else died this week? Oh, Kevin, you're going to be very upset.
As much as I was by this one?
More so.
All right.
Remember the old Tarzan movies?
I don't think I ever saw them.
There was Johnny Weissmuller was an Olympic swimmer. He was an Olympic athlete who went on to make a successful series of Tarzan movies. And in midway in this series of films, he made a dozen of them, a bunch of them. He had a son named Boy.
Right.
Tarzan's son, Boy.
Sure.
And Boy is dead now. Boy died this week.
Why are you wasting our time?
I'm just saying, Boy died. It's sad.
Who gives a damn?
Tarzan's sad. Boy dead. Cheetah angry. Jane inconsolable.
Ralph is taking over the death quarter.
He really has.
Celebrity deaths.
Celebrity deaths are his domain.
I like celebrity deaths. Yeah. excuse me, Jackson Rathbone.
What?
There's a guy named Jackson Rathbone. He's in the Twilight movies.
Okay.
He says he can't go to Starbucks anymore because Twilight fans love coffee. This is his theory. Every time he goes into a Starbucks, he gets mobbed by the people in the Starbucks, and so he has extrapolated that information out to come to the natural conclusion that Twilight fans love coffee.
Okay.
But only Twilight fans.
Well, he says every time he walks into a Starbucks, sure. He can't go there without causing a major commotion.
Right.
He said he recently stopped for some coffee in the middle of nowhere and started a near riot after female customers couldn't stop screaming.
Was it mall closing time? Was it that?
It was mall closing time. So it's hard to beat Jackson Rathbone.
He's so famous, I can't believe he can go anywhere.
Last night on Dancing with the Stars, Florence Henderson got the boot. Mrs. Brady. Ah, oh, that's sad news.
Why are you wasting our time?
And some people are still have a chapped ass that the situation was booted off, you know.
How could anyone not be excited about that, really?
Well, they wanted more situation. So they asked Ronnie of Jersey Shore what they thought of the situation's participation in Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
And here's what he had to say to Us Weekly magazine. Mike has legs. So does a chair. It doesn't mean a chair can dance, right? See what he did there?
He's got a point.
He does have a point. And the situation did dance like a chair. Everyone at Lindsay Lohan's camp is saying their prayers that she won't be heading straight back to jail this week. TMZ.com reports that she's going to have to face Judge Eldon Fox again this Friday. This is the actual hearing that Eldon tried to keep her in jail until. Remember that?
Oh, right.
He was going to just keep her in custody until her hearing came up. Then her legal team said, turns out you can't do that. You have to offer her bail. They did. She went into Betty Ford, where she is currently. And on Friday, she has to appear before the judge and finally face those charges of violating her probation.
So he might send her back to jail.
He has that ability.
Ooh.
If he wants to, he can put her right back from the courtroom into jail. Now, the legal team, of course, is hoping that she is showing a certain amount of good faith by putting herself into Betty Ford, and that the judge will be predisposed not to send her to jail so that she may continue her treatment.
Just go back to Betty Ford.
Because a jail sentence certainly would be an interruption to that treatment. They're hoping he will see the wisdom in that. But we'll know on Friday what's going on. But she might go straight back to Linwood. Did you watch the Monday Night Football game with the Titans and Jaguars this Monday night?
Did not, no.
Well, you may have noticed there were a few more commercials than usual. And the Hollywood Reporter says the NFL is now currently investigating whether officials, under pressure from ESPN, called a couple of extra timeouts.
No kidding.
Specifically,
we'll have to ask Rich Eisen about that.
Specifically so the network could jam more commercials into the broadcast.
Really?
Apparently, they were running behind. ESPN was, and they're supposed to air 20 commercial breaks during a football telecast. And if ESPN doesn't air those commercials, they have to refund the money to the advertisers. That's the way it happens in any advertisement media. If we're doing our show here and we miss a commercial or don't play it in the right time period, those advertisers get a rebate or a refund on their advertising money.
Right.
So apparently ESPN was going to the refs, hey, we need a break here. We got to get some more commercials in there.
That's weird.
It is weird. Neither the NFL or ESPN said anything about the case, but NFL is certainly investigating because people were noticing that timeouts were being called where they didn't necessarily need to
How
be called.
About that? It was already one of the worst Monday Night Football games of all time.
Yeah.
And way to make it even worse.
Very poorly attended as well.
Yeah. And played. For Jacksonville, anyway. And they barely showed up.
Viewership was way down, too. So. Not a lot of call for the Titans and the Jaguars to square off. Jags are in big trouble, by the way. They're talking about moving that franchise because they can't sell any tickets down there. Nobody goes.
Yeah.
They were talking about it before the show. I heard some sports reporters saying they cover large sections of the stadium seating with these plastic tarps that give the illusion of people sitting in it during the telecast so it doesn't look like a giant empty stadium.
Really?
Wow.
They have an artist draw people on it?
Yes. He draws individual people on every... it kind of makes them blend in with the colors that they've got there. So
that's
it doesn't
so
look...
funny.
You don't see the individual empty seats.
Could that be the Southern California franchise, Ralph?
That is the biggest of all...
No!
Of all the teams that have been talked about recently, possibly moving to Los Angeles, that seems to be the most likely choice, a lot of insiders believe. Because the franchise is just struggling so badly down in Florida.
Florida?
We'll have to wait and see. Today's celebrity birthday is musician Tom Petty. He's 60 years old today. Director Danny Boyle celebrates his 54th birthday. Viggo Mortensen, very talented actor who happens to have a tail. He's 52. Snoop Dogg celebrates his 39th birthday.
See how they come at black people?
And John Krasinski of The Office is 31. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Rich Eisen from the NFL Network joins us later this hour on The Kevin Bean Show. And our friend Joe Rogan will be here talking about UFC and all things crazy. That's the beautiful thing about Joe. He's crazy, and he always has crazy stuff to talk about.
And he's seen everything on the internet, and it's always fascinating to us because he'll come in with his wide eyes and he'll go, "Did you guys see the lizard that ate the human being? It's crazy."
I hope Mr. Rogan is listening right now as he's driving in because he will very much enjoy our next guest. Chris Chacon is on the phone. He is one of the world's foremost authorities on the scientific exploration of the supernatural. Just in time for Halloween. Hey, Chris, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. How are you, man?
Very good, thank you.
Thanks for joining us. So poltergeists, demonic possession, alien abduction, black magic, psychic phenomena, ghosts, you do it all.
Well, I've certainly explored it, yes.
And what kind of background do you need to be a paranormal investigator? What is this something you go to school for? Is it on-the-job training or what?
No, actually, I was kind of it's a twist of fate and purely accidental that I happened to end up exploring these type of phenomena. My background actually initially was in theatrical arts and behavioral psychology, but moreover, in magic and illusion. I used to perform magic and illusion, so my way of approaching these phenomena was initially very skeptical, looking for those, always for the rational explanation behind the phenomena. And then when I was recruited by a scientific agency, they actually retrained me in a method of approaching these anomalies, for lack of a better word, from a more scientific approach.
Is that the Office of Scientific Investigation and Research?
That's correct.
Okay. Does that exist?
Yes.
Where is that?
Well, you mean where are they based?
Yeah.
Your organization, when I was with it, I'm no longer with the organization. That was some time ago. They were based up in Northern California.
Northern California. I got a bunch of email from people saying, ask Chris about this because, A, it doesn't exist, is what one email said. And another said that it was a fictional place on PSI Factor. And is it really an actual place? Then a bunch of people said it's not.
The organization, it existed long before I was there. And it's basically a scientific. Their research they really did was in medical scientific defense research. The division I was in was called Anomalistics, and we did environmental assessments. Now, over the course of years, obviously, it's been interpreted as the anomalous phenomena has been interpreted with terms like parapsychology and ghosts and supernatural, but we really assessed everything from a very scientific point of view, and a good 70 to 80% of the phenomena had rational explanations to it.
Okay. What city is the place in?
What's that?
What city is the place in?
Well, it used to be both located in Silicon Valley and near the Altamont Pass, the two facilities. But I'm no longer associated with them, so whether that's where their base of operations is currently, I have no idea, since I'm no longer associated with the organization.
I see.
But back in the early 90s, they opened a public affairs department, and we were featured on NBC Network News, Ida Iwa, Connie Chung, a variety of Unsolved Mysteries episodes, and their episode, and the NBC Network News episode actually brought the crew to the headquarters in Northern California. They actually got to go through the facility. We got to take them out with a complete scientific team. So, I think what had happened is regarding the questionability of the organization is when the launch of the TV series Psi Factor happened, which was loosely, extremely loosely based on the scientific organization, there was a media push to try to create buzz, like Lost did, regarding the organization escapes me now.
Dharma Initiative?
Dharma Initiative, thank you. And the whole idea was to create a buzz of question, and obviously that worked so well in the initiation of the series that still to this day there's question about the organization, and really it was really nothing more than a scientific think tank, no different from organizations like SAIC, Scientific Applications Incorporated. RAND, of course, is more of a think tank, which is very public and deals with political aspects, but scientific think tanks are all over the place. It's just that this particular one had a lot of question about it because of the whole PR push.
Gotcha. I don't. Kevin's planning a field trip or something. I don't know what's going on here, but let's get back.
Well,
let's
just make sure that it was a real place. That's all.
Let's get back to the mysteries, because this is what's fascinating to me. Is you look, you approach them skeptically, and many times there are reasonable explanations as to why people think they see or feel or hear something. Is that what percentage would you say of things that you have seen, Mr. Chacon, are things that you absolutely cannot explain away with any kind of rational reason?
Of the phenomena I've encountered, I'd say between 20-30%. Again, we're talking cases all over the world. 20-30% were anomalous in nature, where science simply cannot explain it, or our science hasn't caught up to yet to explain it.
Okay.
I just wanted to back up for a second. The approach I have, or at least that I was trained in, was not to approach the phenomena skeptically, though. And there's a reason for that. It's something called the observer effect, that how your own depiction of the situation will taint your results. So it's actually they taught us the true, really more pure scientific way of approaching it, is not as a skeptic, not as a believer, but going in there just to observe the data collected and the phenomena, whatever the situation is, and then we leave that up to someone else, the case manager, to sort of collate all the data and information and then come to conclusions on a separate basis.
Understood. Now, is most of the contact you get from the public people who believe that they're witnessing ghosts or evidence of ghosts?
Now, oh, definitely. Again, now I'm no longer associated with the group. The people who contact me are usually situations that are very extreme, whether it be poltergeist, ghosts, demonic possession, people who claim that they were abducted by aliens. You know, the claims are very extreme situations. And I think for the most part, it's phenomena that has traumatized people.
Right.
Do you make a living doing this, being a paranormal investigator? I mean, if I called you up and said, hey, I was abducted by aliens, is that the type of thing where you would come and interview me and charge me for it? Is that how you make a living?
Yeah, no, I never charge anything for any of the situations I do. It's purely – it's a consultant basis, first of all. And I would go in there simply to assess the situation, to try to lend some assistance in helping those people who are traumatized and to try to shed some light on what the phenomena could be.
Uh-huh.
I don't have all the answers. Again, I don't have I'm not able to employ all the scientific means to study it now.
Right.
I never charge anything for offering my thoughts on the situation. And again, the situations I'm only referred to that come to me are ones that are referred after they've already been ruled out. The psychological, physiological factors have been all ruled out.
How do you make money if you don't charge? What do you do for a living?
Oh, I separate from that, I work in the entertainment industry.
Oh, okay, I got you.
So do you think we're almost out of time here, Chris, and we are going to invite calls from our listeners who have seen things like you've discussed here on the Kevin and Bean Show that are completely inexplicable. They don't have any rational explanation. We are going to be taking those calls next at 1-800-520-1067. I'm just curious about the ghosts, since we are in the Halloween season and so many people report that they have felt something from the other side. Is that just wishful thinking that they want to feel some sort of a connection with, you know, dearly departed dad or something? And a lot of times it's the imagination that is kind of driving those visions and things that they hear?
Well, certainly there is a certain certainly a percentage there of individuals where by it's purely psychological, and that those are that's the connection they're trying to make to make them. I mean, the possibilities of why. I mean, that's, you know, that's different as every person. There are those psychological factors, but there also are those circumstances of individuals who are extremely skeptic, and they've encountered phenomena that they could not explain.
Right.
Ongoing phenomena. So there's certainly the you know, the broad end of the spectrum from one to the other, and then of course you have to rule in those circumstances where the phenomena is happening, and there's another explanation besides it being psychological, or that it's being that it's actually paranormal. That there's circumstantial aspects to it. You know, like there's a there was one situation where people were seeing flashes of light in the environment, and it turned out to be phosphine gases that were being leaked into the person's home, and it was creating flashes of light. So, you know, there's a variety of explanations that go along with it. But, you know, we can't, again, it would be ignorant to rule out those on the truly anomalous ones that we have no explanation for.
Gotcha. All right, we are out of time with our guest, Chris Chacon. You are a consultant for the next Paranormal Activity movie that I know is coming out here very soon. Have you seen it? Is it as good as the first one?
I have not seen it. I've seen only trailers to it. And, you know, obviously they're taking the approach of the first one. If you've seen the trailers, they're wanting to push all the buttons by luring the audience in with that sort of eavesdropping.
Right.
With cameras in the environment, I think, you know, and then the other thing is that they're pushing all the right buttons regarding the lore of encountering these phenomena.
You but we can tell that from watching the trailer. What,
that's what he said. He saw the trailer, yeah.
Are you a consultant on it?
No. I wasn't involved in the film whatsoever.
Okay, all right.
I'm sorry that we got misinformation this time. I apologize. All right, Chris, thanks so much for coming on. Happy Halloween to you. We enjoyed talking to you.
My pleasure. Happy Halloween to all of you as well.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye now. All right, your call's coming up next.
Shaky!
1-800-520-1067. No shakier than our listeners who will have stories that they will believe, too, coming up on the Kevin DeBee. We've got time for just a couple of calls about our last topic with our quote-unquote guest on quote-unquote paranormal activities.
Wait, he was a guest. You don't have to put that in quotes.
His quote-unquote Chris Chacon name that he claimed. No, he was talking about crazy stuff that he's investigated, and he said there's a percentage of it that there's no other explanation for. It doesn't mean it's necessarily paranormal. It just means we haven't been able to put a scientific tag on it. And those are the calls we're looking for from you at 1-800-520-1067. In fact, let's go to Karen on line 4 because she not only had something happen, she had the Ghost Hunters TV show over to investigate it.
Really?
So let's find out what it was and what they said. Hi, Karen. Thanks for hanging on. Welcome to the Kevin DeBee Show.
Well, thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Hi. So what happened?
Well, we moved into a house in Brea, and we had a lady appear. We had writing appear on a mirror, and my whole family was so scared, we called Ghost Hunters out. They sent two teams out 3 times.
Okay.
They told me to keep it short, so how much do you want me to...
what did they find when they came out?
Well, they came out with 2 different teams. They got a lot of voices on recorders, a lot of stories.
But what was the end result? Did they say, hey, Karen, that was a ghost?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They did. All
they
right.
asked how...
Oh, shoot, you're cutting out.
I think we got a ghost on her phone is what's going on here. I think somebody's trying to stop this information from getting out.
And when the ghost talks, we can't hear her.
And what do you do with that information once they say to you, you have a ghost? I wonder. I mean, is this the type of thing where everybody would want the ghost to now be driven out of the home? Or are some people comforted by having ghosts in the house? I wonder how you would react to it if you really believed you had one there. All right. Thank you for the call, Karen. Appreciate that. Let's try Mike line 1. He had a family member from the dead come back. Hey, Mike, welcome to the show. Turn your radio down. Tell us what happened.
All right. Thank you for the call, Karen. Appreciate
Turn down
that.
Your radio, Mike.
Mike line 1.
You got that? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Tell us your story.
Okay. This is a story that can be corroborated by 3 different people. I was about 11 years old at the time, and I was with my mom and my best friend at the time, Clint. And Clint and I were washing dishes, preparing for dinner, and all of a sudden he stopped, looked over his shoulder, and he said, hey, Mike, I didn't know you still have a cat. And I said, no, dude, you know, he died about like 4 or 5 months ago. But I looked at Clint, and he's clearly looking at something.
Right.
So I looked to where he's looking, and my dead cat Bomber, who was my childhood cat when I was born, he was there, was sitting there like clear as day.
And you both were able to see it at the same time in the same room.
Absolutely, and it was broad daylight. Right. The lights were on. I mean, there's no mistaking it.
And I have two questions. I have two questions, and these are mandatory, and we just ask them of everyone. Drinking?
He was 11, Kevin.
Doesn't matter. Drinking? Smoking pot?
No, definitely not yet.
All right.
Definitely not yet. Well, my mom saw it, too.
And, she saw it, too?
Yeah, and then she saw Bomber multiple times after that.
Did you walk over to the chair and try to pick up Bomber?
No, we were all just, like, struck. We had no idea what was going on. I mean, it was just really exciting and kind of scary and kind of comforting at the same time because I missed him. I mean, when I was born, he was already about a year old.
Right, yeah.
He was like my best cat. I loved that cat. And we're all just staring at him for a moment. He was sitting there as if he was himself, like the same cat that I've always known all these years.
That's
wild. And we're all just looking at him for like 5 seconds. Then he jumps off the chair and disappears.
Oh, that's such BS. Why? Why show himself to you if he's going to disappear?
I don't know. But at the same, I mean, like, I had to leave the house. I had to go outside because I was like so startled and scared.
Mushrooms? Were you on mushrooms?
He was 11, Kevin. He was just doing the dishes.
I'm asking him questions.
No, it's a legitimate question.
Thank you.
No, I hadn't been on mushrooms.
LSD?
Mike, that is a... look, that's a weird story. I mean, and that's the type of thing that I'm sure in the years since then, you have racked your brain trying to think of any other possible explanation. I mean, it couldn't just be, hey, I miss my cat. I was hoping to see him. I would feel good if I saw him because it was three people at the same time, right?
And it was my friend Clint who saw the cat first, who has really no
weird.
Emotional ties to the cat.
Was your friend Clint on mushrooms?
Okay, enough.
Listen,
we're out of time. We'll get into more of this as we get closer to Halloween. But Mike, that is one of the all-time great calls on this topic. Thanks so much. A quick break. Rich Eisen is here from the NFL Network. We'll catch up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Trying to locate Mr. Eisen. We'll hopefully catch up with him very soon. Rich Eisen from the NFL Network to talk about all the great stuff that's going on in that sport right now. Plus Joe Rogan in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, I think you're going to be very excited. This is one of the best Kevin and Bean internet roundups we've had in a long time.
Yeehaw! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
All right, so you go to kevinandbean.com. I don't know, in an hour. Not necessarily right this second.
Today, though, you'll have a chance to see all of these videos today. Are you with me, though, that this is a fantastic batch of videos?
Well, I love the fact that people running for governor, no matter how crazy you are, you have to get like noticed by the TV. You have to get coverage.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get equal coverage. So there's a guy named Jimmy McMillan.
Oh, I would so move to New York just to vote for this guy.
He's running for the governor of New York, and the party that he's representing is the Rant is Too Damn High Party. That's the name of it, and their platform is that the rent is too damn high.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then every conversation is about the rent being too damn high.
I represent the Rent is Too Damn High Party. This is politics as usual. Playing a silly game. It's not going to happen. The Rent Too Damn High Movement, the people I'm here to represent can't afford to pay their rent.
So then they ask the other politicians, and they come back to him, and no matter what the question is, I mean, they can say, what do you think about abortion? And he'd say, the rent is too damn high. Mm-hmm. He's the best. And, of course, there's a song already with this dude.
Rent is too damn. Ain't nothing to talk about. Ain't nothing else to talk about. You better tell about me. Rent is too damn.
Oh, it's so good.
Come on, you'd vote for him over a stupid Andre Cuomo, right? Or
I'd
Andrew
vote for
Cuomo.
Him in a second. You know, I vote, my vote is always comedy.
Absolutely.
Here's a politician that apparently was accused of being a witch, and she had to go on TV and tell people that she's not a witch.
This is the fantastic Christine O'Donnell, another crazy person that I would vote for just for the comedy.
And another song.
Stay in office, politicians, stay in office. I'll go to Washington and do what you do, 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 do. I'm Christine O'Donnell, not a politician and not a witch, witch. I'm Christine O'Donnell, I'm you, you.
Funny to hear somebody deny that they're a witch. I mean, that's just weird.
I love that that's where we are in politics, where a candidate for one of the two major parties had to go on TV with a commercial that starts, I'm not a witch. And by the way, if I were her and I were lucky enough to have the Gregory Brothers auto-tune my campaign ad, that's the one I'd put on now. I'd be running that auto-tune one day and night. It's super catchy.
Play
Why
the hell
not?
Out of it. I agree. Here's one called 20 Classic Movie Farts in 2 Minutes. Now, I'm not going to play all 2 minutes, but it certainly is worth going to the site
in about an hour
to check out the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, because there are clips that that are spectacular, and you see the video as well.
Charlie Babbitt, I'll hold. Did you fart, Ray? Did you fart?
That's Rain Man in the phone booth. And before that, the Step Brothers fart, which I had forgotten just how powerful that was.
Oh, that was a good one, yeah.
Chauncey Riley.
I think we're going to have to start a section of people after they get off the laughing gas at the dentist's office, because there's so many of these now. You know, remember the little kid in the backseat of the car, and Dad was asking him questions, and he freaked out?
David, yeah, is this real life?
Yeah,
is this going to be like this forever?
Yeah, here's a girl. She's still sitting in the dentist chair, and somebody is videotaping her, and she's having trouble realizing what's real and what's not.
I can't feel my arm.
I can't feel my arm.
Am I going to fart? I think I just farted and pooped from my pants a little bit.
That's so good.
She's so high. And by the way, she's got quite a take on vaginas, too. You definitely are going to have to check out that video later.
And is she the one that just wants to dance, or is that a different
yes,
one?
Yes, she just wants to
I
dance.
I just want to dance, she said a bunch of times after that laughing gas. Between Two Ferns is one of the funniest things on the internet. And it is this one is with Bruce Willis, and it's from funnierdie.com.
This is Zach Galifianakis, who plays a talk show host who's woefully unprepared for his celebrity guests. And I think this one with Bruce Willis may be the funniest one he's ever done.
He insults in every way possible.
How many children do you have?
Three.
Three. Which is your favorite, Ashton? Do you get his tweets? Like, you call him and go, hey, I got your tweets. When you were making The Whole 10 Yards, were you ever worried that it would be too good? Did you know that some actors turn down roles? Any plans to reboot the Grumpy Old Men franchise? What are you talking about, Willis? You ever heard that before?
No.
Why is Zach the best?
Zach Galifianakis really is one of the funniest people in the world. And finally, Jimmy Kimmel Live this week in unnecessary censorship. He takes newscasters. For the most part, it's straight news. And he puts beeps in that aren't needed. So if President Obama says, I need you to get as fired up as you were 2 years ago, or whatever he's saying, it sounds very different when you add a beep to it that doesn't need to be there.
This week in unnecessary censorship.
Who's there to him when he comes to the surface?
So what the president is doing is s***ing the dick.
On November 2nd, I need you as f***ed up as you were in 2008.
Are you f***ing grumpy?
Well, he claims that I hit on him first because I said his car was leaking, which it was.
No one gets over my bridge. Unless they suck my
You hear that, Boots? We've got to suck the trolls. Will you help us suck the trolls?
Come on.
See, it sounds incredibly filthy, but no bad words were used.
It's not filthy at all until you add the beeps. And then it's the best thing ever. It's This Week in Unnecessary Censorship from the Jimmy Kimmel Show. And you'll be able to see that soon at KevinandBean.com.
Kevin and Bean.
Internet 106.7 K-Rock.
Hey!
Yeah.
Hey!
It's KROQ, and it is 7:57.
Well, the way things are going with Dave as our producer this week, Joe Rogan may or may not be here in a few minutes.
I think I gave Joe Rogan the wrong address for right. the studio.
I did not have the right phone number.
They gave me the wrong number for Rich Eisen.
Our producer Alex is on vacation this week, and Dave is filling in, and the wheels are falling off. That's
they
all.
They certainly are.
I mean, it's really... it's really...
Seth Green, I was on a conference call, and they didn't ask me a question.
Every single time a song ends, it's a new experiment in terror. What's going to happen next?
Everything is sketchy.
It's a new horror movie for Halloween.
The producer.
You think you know what's going on, but you don't.
You expect guests, but you won't get them from the producer.
So Joe Rogan's supposed to be here just after the top of the hour. Not yet. Always here early. Not yet.
Always. No. When Alex is producing, Joe's here early. I'll tell you that.
That's true.
All right, so that may or may not happen. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Kevin and Bean Wednesday edition. What's going on?
No phones, no in studio from the producer.
Ah, it sucks to be Morgan Freeman. You think it'd be great to be Morgan Freeman?
I would think
so. Oscar-winning actor.
I love it. God. I love him in everything he's in.
Super talented. Yeah. Seems to be a really nice guy. But if you're Morgan Freeman today,
uh-oh,
you're going to be shelling out $400 million in your divorce settlement.
Wow.
I thought you said 400.
I did say 400 million.
I thought you said 400 million.
I said $400 million.
Dude.
Apparently he is settling with his ex-wife, Myrna, out of court. Morgan,
wow.
Morgan didn't want to take the thing to court because during their marriage he was involved with a school teacher named Mary Joyce Hayes and also in a relationship that was a bit questionable with his step-granddaughter,
right,
Edina Hines, and he did not want to deal with the press and with the exposure of those relationships being subjected to the white-hot glare of the spotlight in a courtroom. So he is doing it apparently through an arbitrator, and this is the deal he may have to cut to keep things quiet.
He has $401 million, so
yeah,
this
so
is really...
he's got a mill.
That's not going to hurt.
How does a guy... I mean, he's a well-paid actor, but I don't think he's a $10 million a picture actor, is he? How does he amass a fortune like that, I wonder?
Well, a lot of these guys, once they get their movie money, invest in real estate or other business holdings,
yeah,
they're able to parlay their money into to other
very
enterprises.
Impressive.
So that would be bad.
Wow.
Right?
You know that's what that
bad,
tells
right?
me? That tells me that he wanted to get away from, what was her name, Myrna?
Yeah, Myrna.
$400
yeah.
million dollars worth.
Yeah.
That's how much he wanted to
I
get away from her.
I don't hate anybody that much. If it cost $400 million, I'd be married to Chelsea Handler. Whatever. You do whatever you have to just to get by.
That's crazy.
I'd kill her first before I divorce her.
It was worth it to him to write that check.
Wow. That was my first thought, too, is shallow grave over $400 million check. Yeah. Absolutely.
You know how many hitmen you can hire for $400 million?
And that's legal.
That's
oh, wait.
Right.
No, it isn't.
No, we don't recommend killing
nope.
your spouse.
Just kidding.
Just
unless
kidding.
You can get away with it.
No, not even then.
Not even then.
No.
Unless you're a professional.
Sad news. DeVinyl's lead singer Chrissy Hamflett has breast cancer, apparently. The story came out in the New York Post. Here's the thing. She's had a rough couple years. 3 years ago, she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And then she has now been diagnosed with breast cancer. Hmm. She's currently getting treatment in New York City, where she lives with her husband, Charlie Drayton, who was the drummer for the DeVinyls. They've been together for all those years. For those of you who don't know the DeVinyls, they had a big top 10 hit in 1991, I Touch Myself, which you still hear quite often, actually, in movies and TV and stuff. And she was sexy in that video.
Yeah.
But she's gone through some hard times, so we wish her all the best and hope for a speedy recovery. Eminem, this is fascinating. I think this opens up a whole new window into Eminem's psyche. Apparently, he was brutally bullied when he was in grade school.
Right.
Smoking Gun website has a hold of the documents that show Marshall Mathers' mom tried to sue the local school system in Detroit for not protecting her then 9-year-old son. Marshall apparently was bullied so badly when he was in grade school, he suffered a concussion, post-traumatic headaches, as well as hearing and vision loss from beatings he took from bullies on a regular basis.
Wow.
Dude.
That's got to be rough.
No kidding.
And when you think about some of his lyrics and some of his positioning, you wonder there might be a hurt little boy in there someplace.
You
know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, thought that was interesting news. The Simpsons are Catholic.
Yeah, that's an odd thing for the church to come out and say.
Vatican have put out the word that a Jesuit priest has studied an episode from 2005 that he says gives indisputable proof that the Simpsons are practicing Catholics.
Are they the only church that is out there trying desperately to claim the Simpsons?
There aren't a lot of churches trying to convert cartoon characters to their faith, that's for sure.
And this particular one, you know, Homer is wrong on everything. That's what's funny about the show. Bart's a little devil. I mean, I don't know that any religion would want them.
I remember the Jews went after Porky Pig for a while. But then they found out he wasn't kosher, and so they just passed.
That was an odd choice.
That was odd, I thought. Yeah, that was sort of a reach. Executive producer of The Simpsons, Al Jean, however, disagrees with their findings. He maintains that the Simpsons have always gone to the First Church of Springfield, which is a Presbyterian church, he says.
Never heard of that one.
It's half Presbyterian, half Lutheran.
Okay.
And he highly doubts that Homer can make it through a Friday without eating meat, so he doesn't think he could possibly be Catholic. Makes sense.
Sure.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Tom Petty is 60 years old today. Director Danny Boyle celebrates his 54th birthday. Migo Vortens?
Yes, that guy.
Viggo Mortensen.
Migo Vortensen. That's a much cooler name than Viggo Mortensen.
Give him the breathalyzer!
Me.
Yes, you did it twice.
Viggo Mortensen is 52 years old today. Rapper Snoop Dogg celebrates his 39th birthday.
Snoop Dogg's in the house.
And John Krasinski from The Office celebrates his 31st birthday. I'm Galf Rarman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
Oh, I can't find Jay Ragon. I don't know where he is. He's supposed to be here. Thanks, producer Dave.
It's Joe Rogan. Yeah,
Joe Rogan, of course, is who we're talking about. We speak Dave, though. We were able to translate. Yeah. Anyway, Mr. Rogan, in minutes here on the Kevin Bean Show. Right now, it's time for a very questionable feature that we do from time to time here on the Kevin Bean Show. A little something we like to call
Thanks for that Info Bean.
Yeah,
Bean greatest has, segment ever on the show. Buddy.
Bean has Asperger's, and nope. That's yes. a highly functioning autism, and. No. One of the signs is that you can't tell if the person you're talking to has any interest in what you're saying or not.
Yeah.
So we try to give them as much feedback as we can in the form of...
Thanks for that Info Bean!
It's a social disconnect where you think because you have a thought that comes to you in your mind that other people will automatically be interested in that conversation.
Right.
You lose the ability to gauge the interest of your audience.
So,
well, perhaps it's time for some of you to listen up and learn a little something then.
So, yes, it is time for someone to listen up and learn. So here's what happens. I sit here during the songs and commercials and I write stuff down verbatim and what other people in the room say to him because the rule is you don't respond to Bean when he says something like
that.
Do
not engage.
It never comes, there's no context ever. You're not having a conversation about something, just comes out of the blue and you don't even know what he's talking about and he kind of tries to sucker you in that way, but most of the time it doesn't matter. So this is a good example. I'm reading about seasonal jobs at the post office. And then Psycho Mike goes, oh. Because we've heard that every year we hear this. Bean loves the post office.
Right.
Bean, when he was a kid, had a poster on his wall of the Postmaster General.
I do.
Do you
I have
know
a couple
any
of,
kid like that?
I have two or three autographed photos of Postmasters General as well. But here's the thing, is I get excited this time of year because this is when they hire for the holidays.
Right.
And I think, how cool would it be if I could do that part-time while I'm doing this job and still get to indulge my fantasy of working for the PO?
Right, the PO. And how many times has that happened? It's been such a great experience.
I haven't done it yet,
right.
But every year I'm tempted
yeah,
by it.
Yeah, every year he says this. So he says, I'm reading about seasonal jobs at the post office. And then Psycho Mike says, oh. And then he goes, this might be the year. Which he does every single year.
It might be.
That's that Info Bean.
I might go.
You're not going to go.
Here's the other thing, and I forgot to make this clear at the beginning. We don't need further clarification on these topics. We need less conversation.
It's that we don't understand what you're saying. We don't understand why you're saying it.
Now, sometimes he directs his comments directly at Mike because it's harder for Mike to play along with the rule that you can't respond.
Right.
Because he's being called out. He's also Mini Bean. He's kind of interested in a lot of stuff. Bean is. Mike, you have the Today Show on right now. And then Mike says nothing. And then Bean says, my favorite astronomer in the world is on right now with Matt Lauer. And then Mike says nothing. And then Bean continues, you don't see many black astronomers.
Neil Tyson, he's awesome. I have his books. I watch his
TV. That Info Bean.
Specials. Follow him on Twitter.
Thanks
super
that
bright.
Info Bean.
Watch his super specials. Super interesting, bright guy.
Watch his specials. His big holiday specials every year over there on ABC.
But again, the important
it's the
part.
Neil Tyson Christmas special.
The important part is that we weren't having a discussion about astronomers. That wasn't happening.
But in my defense, I didn't just pull this out of my ass. It was on the Today Show.
Thanks
it was
that Info Bean.
Happening at that moment.
Everyone knows President Polk was a good president. So why didn't he seek a second term? Sorry, I didn't get through that very well. But that's what he said. Everyone knows President Polk is a good president, so why didn't he seek a second term?
That's a very legitimate question.
So the King of Mexico walks into the studio during this, and Psycho Mike says to Dave, Dave, don't talk. Let's just let that sink in. And then Bean follows that up with, I'm troubled by that. Not like I wonder what history would have been like. He's troubled today.
He's troubled by the Polk administration.
Yes.
Thanks for that Info Bean.
You could have been Postmaster General during the Polk administration.
You would have fit much better then. Now, another thing that people with Asperger's have is they need their routine. If the routine is thrown off, all hell breaks loose.
Uh-oh. Yes. Yeah. Definitely need toothpicks.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Bean's internet went down. And
oh, that was the worst day of my life.
I wrote down really just the first 15 minutes of the conversation, and then I just gave up. I just couldn't keep writing. It continued throughout the show. It continued in the office.
I couldn't function.
I'm having internet trouble. And no one said anything. I'd rather have heart trouble than internet trouble. And then Bean walked out of the room for 2 minutes because he was upset or he wanted to go do something, get food or whatever.
I wanted to restart the router to see if it was on my end instead of Comcast.
So then he came back in and just continued the conversation as if we had been having it all along. Why do I have no internet?
Why do I have no internet?
Like, we're going to figure out, like, we know even if we're interested. It's like someone stepped on my air hose. And he went on like that for an hour. There's no way I could recount everything he said about not having internet.
Very upset.
That's that info bean.
Very upset. You guys are with me on that, right?
Today, he said, I miss Megan. Just out of the blue.
Megan.
I miss Megan. So Mike and I both, because we thought like maybe we missed something. We didn't realize this was a thanks for that info bean moment. We said, what? And then Bean said, Don Draper's fiance.
Bean then, misses Don Draper's fiance.
Yes. And then no one said anything. And then Bean said, I can't help it if I love. And then no one said anything. And then Bean said, sometimes I love too much.
That's that info, Bean.
But here's my favorite. This is my favorite.
But there's no new episodes until next summer. That's a long time to go without Megan. Right. That's what I'm saying.
This is my favorite. Here's the thing. Here's the thing about most people. If you don't get any reaction from somebody when you're talking, you get the message.
And you're almost embarrassed that you said something. It's a socially awkward moment.
So what you do is you retreat.
Right.
You don't continue.
You shut the F up.
All right. So this entire thing happened without any response. And it's hard to be in the room and not respond to Bean because it is really rude.
Yeah.
I mean, you're being mean, but that's the rule. You can't respond. So Bean says, am I the only one excited? And by the way, the answer to that is always yes.
Yes.
Am I the only one excited about the world's longest tunnel that just opened?
Okay, now that's
shut
big,
up.
Big news.
That's that info, Bean.
That's been on
so
every
I look at Mike,
show.
And Mike looks at me, and Mike gives me the are you writing this down thing, and I'm right. Like, yeah, I got it. And then Bean says, it's nearly 35 miles long. And then no one said anything. And then Bean said, that's a big tunnel. because we can't put together a 35-mile-long tunnel.
After he's told you it's the world's longest tunnel.
That's a big tunnel. And then no one said anything. And then Bean said, the lead engineer said it was his greatest achievement in all his years of building tunnels. And then finally Psycho Mike went, oh. He just moaned. And then Bean followed that up with, you don't know, man. It was like a freaking one-man play. World's longest tunnel.
In my defense, it's a really long tunnel.
That's that info, Bean.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. I got to feel bad for Kevin here because he's just out there trying to do the right thing. He's just out there trying to make the world a little bit a better place. But you can't catch a break, man. There's so much hate coming at you.
Yeah.
From everybody you know, everybody here on the show, the listeners are getting involved. You're getting phone calls at home. What are you doing? What have you undertaken here?
Well, it's October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So in honor of that, I decided to put up a top 10 list of the, you know, the girls with the most amazing real breasts.
Boobies!
Uh-huh. So I went to a couple of different places. I went to Spike TV. They had a list I wasn't thrilled with. I went to a couple of other websites, Maxim. You know, I wasn't. So finally, the King of Mexico said, why don't you just make your own? And I said, all right, I'll make my own. So I started putting them up. Each day, I put up a new girl. And there's a picture, and then there's a little bit of information on Breast Cancer Awareness Month in the website. And then if you click through, you see all of the photos and videos and all that.
Yeah, it's a gallery every day of hot chicks, right?
Right, right.
But basically the problem is that everybody is so territorial about the hot chicks with the great boobs that they love that it's just an argument starter. It's like, who's the greatest basketball player of all time? There's no way to satisfy everybody.
It is really odd.
Unless I put my vote in, which I've been doing, and that's why Kevin is dumb and wrong.
It is really weird in that I've always seen these lists and I criticize them. Same thing. I go, what are you talking about? How could you not? So now I'm doing it and people are responding to me as if I am an expert in any way except for the fact that I'm just saying here are my
well, you put yourself
top
out there.
10.
You put yourself out there by creating this list.
All right, my top 10 list of amazing real breasts. Number 10, Eva Mendes.
Great.
Argue with that.
Can't
argue with that. Definitely, absolutely top 10. No
all
question.
Right, there you go. So then you click through and you get videos of her, you know, sexy video shoot and you get photos.
She can make the top 10 list of any body part.
Correct.
Really.
All right. Number 9, Minka Kelly.
Great. Good work.
a total package, an absolutely stunning, drop-dead gorgeous woman with a great figure, not sure that her breasts are on their own spectacular.
I think the way
but
they
see,
fit,
I'm not, I don't go with breasts on their own. To me, it's a package.
It's a total
and also,
package deal.
And also,
yeah.
There are excellent, excellent breasts that aren't big breasts. And I think Mika Kelly is one of those examples.
Because she's got a very lean, fit body.
The way they fit her frame and everything, it looks great. Good choice. All
okay,
right.
So she's number 9.
Yeah.
All right, number 8, I got a little flack for. Number 8, my top 10 list of amazing real breasts, Ashley Green.
Straight to hell for you. Straight to hell is where you go.
Okay.
That.
That's not extreme at all, Mike?
No.
You would say that's a reasonable reaction?
Response?
Yeah. Listen, Ashley Green is in, like, my top 3 hottest chicks. I think she's beautiful.
Hey, so that's a pretty reasonable reaction, huh?
Beautiful girl.
Right.
No business on a body part list of any sort, especially breasts.
But look at the photo. Look at that photo. Look at it. Just that photo alone.
She's a beautiful girl, but I don't think of her at all when I start thinking about girls
with
big breasts.
See, but when I do breasts, I'm not saying big. I'm not saying big.
I agree.
This is not a big breast category. Uh-huh. This is amazing breasts.
And she has not only smaller breasts, but they kind of sag a little, and she's not in the best of shape, but, you know, she's one of those girls that's just naturally
beautiful.
So Eva
Mendez, you're fine.
Yeah.
All right, Mika Kelly, good.
Yeah.
I go to hell for this one?
Hell.
But I think what the problem is, Kevin, is we know we're not just talking about an overall universe of women with great cans. I think knowing that it's limited to 10, they have to all be so exceptional. Like when I hear you put Ashley Green on the list, that makes me nervous who's getting left off, because now if I stick with your list and I get to the end and there's no Jennifer Love Hewitt or there's no Heather Graham or whoever else I may be thinking of that absolutely has to be on the
Neither.
List.
Yeah.
Then I realize, well, Ashley Green has got to go. You know what I mean? That's why we get nervous when we see something like that.
Right, but I mean, here's what I'm saying. This is my list.
Uh-huh. Right, but you could be wrong, too. But you could be wrong.
I'm saying make your own list. How can my list be wrong if it's my list?
Yeah, but your defense can't be that it's yours.
Can't I make all the rules?
Your defense can't be that it's yours.
Of course
because you can go make your business in the bathroom right now and just come out and say, that's mine. I did that.
What are you talking about?
Doesn't make it good. It's a big steaming pile.
Number 7. even though her personal life has taking the spotlight, it's really, really distracted from the fact that Lindsay Lohan has amazing boobs.
Yeah, she does. Sure. No, I'm with you. God, I swear to God, with the way you started that, I thought you were going to say precious. I thought that's what you were getting toward. Okay.
No, that's number one.
She's fine.
All right, good. Number 6, Alicia Cuthbert from 24.
Good. I can see that. I don't think I would argue.
Top 10? Alicia Cuthbert.
But again, it depends who you bump.
Number 6. Yes.
It depends who's not on the list. If that's instead of Salma Hayek, then yeah, I got to say wrong.
Salma Hayek's not on the list.
Oh, my God!
Salma Hayek's not on the list?
No. What's wrong with you?
No, but listen to who is.
I just assumed she was in the top 3.
Listen to who
along
is.
With Dior
I haven't gotten to the top 3 yet. I've only put up 3 today. I have tomorrow and Friday for number 2 and number 1.
Let me make sure I understand something before you go on.
All right.
What's the title of the list here?
My top 10 list of amazing real breasts.
Uh-huh. And Salma Hayek is not on that list?
That's correct.
That's like naming men who've walked on the moon and forgetting Neil Armstrong.
Look, I'm not saying she doesn't deserve to be on the list. I'm just saying this is the list that I come up with, came up with.
Sounds great.
All right, number 5. Sofia Vergara.
All right.
Argue that one.
There's no argument there.
Argue that one.
No arguments there.
And if you click through, you see her making chocolate milk, and it's the best thing you'll ever see in your life.
Whoa, explain that a little bit.
She's literally making chocolate milk.
Okay, this isn't like a German video.
She didn't adopt a black kid, if that's what you're thinking.
No, that's correct.
But see, again, Kevin, you're the victim of your own success, because when you put Sofia Vergara on your list, that's when we have to look at Ashley Green and go, well, she's in a different
class. Make your own list.
It's funny, you've gotten far down the list, and maybe she's in the top 3 or something, but I don't hear Marissa Miller's name.
So number 4.
Is she not on the list?
So number 4.
Oh, my God, I'm going to kill you.
He must be saving it for Jennifer Connelly. That's the only thing I can imagine.
Yeah. Or Brooklyn Decker.
Not on the list.
Oh, my God.
But wait. Number 4, why can't I find number 4? Oh, number 4 was Ariane Celeste.
Okay. And now here's my problem with
that. Hold on. This was yesterday, and she's in the current Playboy and on the current cover.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't do a lot of research into whether they're real or not.
And then, look, I don't have any proof. I mean, I haven't felt them. I don't know anybody that knows her that could say that they're not. But she's like a 5'1" Asian chick. Like, I'm pretty sure those are bolt-ons, especially the way they hang.
All right. I can accept that. So then last night, I started getting, you know, I started getting bugged by the fact that you guys were hammering me over this. You're like, oh, Ariana Celeste, how's she amazing real breasts? What about Deora Baird? You kept asking. What about Deora Baird? What about her? What about Deora Baird? You kept asking. What about Deora Baird? So about, I don't know, 6 p.m. Last evening, I was like, I got to put Deora Baird in. I mean, all right. So I'm changing things on the fly.
Oh, so you're turning around. Okay.
Oh, so, good. Okay. Now, so I took... So I took Ariane Celeste and I made her 4.5.
Okay.
Here's my list. I can do that, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
And number four is Deora Baird.
There it is.
Okay. Now we're getting somewhere. I love, by the way, that Kevin is getting so much heat.
I know.
That he looks out, like he parts his curtain windows in his dining room now, and there are people outside, like with burning crosses and protesting. And
I'm putting quick facts up about breast cancer awareness. I put the link up every day like that. I'm just using it as an excuse, let's be honest. But number three I put up today.
Before you say what number three is, should we take a break? Because it doesn't look like we have Mr. Rogan yet, right? Should we take a break and maybe invite the listeners to fill out the top three of your list? They've already heard who's made the list so far. It's an outrage if the top three aren't fill in the blank.
Okay. All right.
1-800- I have my three.
1-800-520-1067. I'm standing by my top three, but I'm only going to stand by three now because I haven't put up two or one yet.
Okay.
All right.
So who needs to be on the list? Otherwise, it's bogus and Kevin should be murdered and raped in that and not in that order.
Wait, I'm already going straight to hell.
That's right. 1-800-520-1067. You've been listening. You've heard the conversation. You can't believe the name that hasn't been mentioned yet. Give us a call. We'll talk to you next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
That is over. Just want to let it end nicely and calmly and not talk over it, you know, because you've never heard that song before. It's a world famous K-Rock at 8:42.
So Kevin is finding out what it's like to be regarded as Osama bin Laden because he started putting lists up of the top 10. I guess it's technically the top 20 natural breasts in Hollywood.
Yes.
These are all celebrities who you think have the best breasts. And there has been a great deal of discussion so far with some of the people you have put on the list.
Well, here are a couple of my guidelines. And this is all because it's National Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
So sure. That's why you're doing it. For charity.
I put the link on every single one of them. No one's noticing that. Not a person. That's because when you click through, then there's video and photos and stuff, and it's basically just an excuse. All right. So number 10 was Eva or Eva Mendez, however you say her name. Number 9 was Minka Kelly.
Right.
Number 8 was Ashley Greene.
Go to hell.
Okay. Number 7 was Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
Number 6 was Alicia Cuthbert.
Go to hell.
Mm-hmm. Number 5 is Sofia Vergara.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Number 4 was originally Ariana Celeste.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mike made fun of me because she doesn't have real breasts. And I said, oh, I didn't realize that.
Allegedly, right.
Allegedly, right. Plus, I didn't like her when I talked to her yesterday, to be honest.
All right.
So I moved her to 4.5, and then I added 4 last night, which was Deora Baird.
Deora Baird.
Okay.
At Deora the Baird insistence absolutely of Mike and Bean, I felt like you guys were going to literally beat me up if I didn't put Deora Baird in there.
Then
I did some more research, and she deserves it.
And it's funny to me that not only Bean and I, but everybody seems to weigh in on this like it's an organ donors list for their children.
Right.
You know, like they get so mad.
All right, so here's the deal. We don't have much time, but there's only 3 spots left on the list. And if you're like us and you think it's BS if some certain people are not in those top 3 spots.
Let me tell you what number 3 is, because that one went up today. Number 3 is Kelly Brook.
Good choice.
Now, Kelly Brook is an amazing British actress.
Yeah.
Model. And she was in Piranha 3D.
Yes.
And she got motorboated in Piranha 3D. And you can see that video.
I have no problem with Kelly Brook being on your list.
All right.
Not at all. So top 2 is all that's left. And I'm looking at what people are calling about. I mean, for instance, let's bring Marco on, line 5. You tell me how there's 2 slots left and Marco's suggestion doesn't make it. If it doesn't, you're a bad person, Kevin.
Hey, Marco.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, absolutely. I was going to send this call out for Kevin, but Katy Perry, man, she's got to be number 1.
Katy Perry.
Hands down.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do to Kevin if the top 2 comes out and there's no Katy Perry, Marco?
I really can't say because it would be illegal if I would say it over here.
Yeah, it would be a threat. It would be considered a threat. The FBI would have to be involved.
Now, here's the thing. The other thing that I didn't want to do was just regurgitate every top 10 list that's ever been put out. I wanted to throw a few in that were, I didn't think, unqualified. but not just what everyone thinks. Sure. That's all. So I
But it's bogus if there is no Katy Perry. That's all I'm saying. All right, you can try to be as avant-garde if you want with your crazy ice cream flavors, but if there's no chocolate, it's not a good list.
I can understand you not wanting to regurgitate the same list, but that's like doing the top 10 basketball players of all time and saying, you know what, Jordan? Doesn't really need to be on this one.
Jordan's on everyone else's list. Yeah. He doesn't need to be
the
on mine.
The other thing is, the top 10 really could be super interchangeable. I mean, for the most part, number 10 could be 4, number 3 could be 7.
I agree.
Really, they're all, you know, pretty hot.
Let's talk to Juan Carlos on line 6, former King of Spain, I believe. Juan, thank you for joining us in the Kevin and Bean Show. Who should be in that top 2 slots?
Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah. Without question, right?
That's pretty
good one. She has to be your number one.
That's a pretty good one. I have picked number 2 and number 1, and I'm not going to tell you if she's in it or if the last caller, Katy Perry's in it. But I have picked.
Now, I will throw this out, though. I have not seen them fully nude, but Scarlett Johansson strikes me as the type of girl who would have the beer can areolas.
Saying. Interesting. That's I didn't even thought about that.
I saw them at the Troub last night.
Let's definitely try to squeeze in Peter on line 4 and then Mike on line 3. Definitely both worth consideration. Hi, Peter. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, good morning, guys. First of all, I can't believe you guys did not file Bean about the whole former King of Spain, Juan Carlos. That's a file right there.
That's a good point.
The listeners are putting me in the file.
I like it. Let's put it in the file. All right. Now, who should be included?
Besides Lisa May, I can't believe you guys did not include Halle Berry in the mix.
Yeah.
Halle Berry. Amazing jugs.
You know, some of the most famous in the world.
Yeah.
Swordfish just took it over the edge, you know.
Yeah, awesome. I hear you. Yep. All right. Thank you.
Very good. Thanks for the call. Let's try Mike real quick, line 3. I know we're going to have to ask Psycho Mike to step out because of the controversy this call will create, but go ahead. You're on the air, sir.
Morning, guys.
Hi.
All right, well, I haven't had time to do my own research. I don't know if they're real or not.
A lot of research is needed on this topic. That's what I'm saying.
I'll leave that to Dr. Kevin. I say Christina Hendricks.
Christina Hendricks. She is the actress who plays Joan on Mad Men. They are big.
But, you know,
it's the whole package, though. It's all together.
Monique and Gabrielle Sidibe have big breasts, but they're also, you know, 200 pounds overweight.
You're crazy if you're comparing her to those two.
I'm just saying.
You're crazy.
Look, breasts are
she's beautiful.
Breasts are adipose tissue, I'm saying. So she had no choice but to have big breasts.
Mike, thank you for the call. I guess we'll have to wait for tomorrow and Friday then to find out who the top two are. You can go to kevinandbean.com to keep up.
I was going
to
say, there's 3 through 10 are up there along with a lot of photos and a lot of video, and you should all do your own research.
So we find
where's Angelina Jolie, mother effer, by the way, while we're talking about it? Come on! Right.
So we find out that number 1 and 2 are Brooklyn Decker and Marissa Miller. When? You say Friday?
Tomorrow you're going to find out number 2 and Friday number 1.
Okay.
That's how it works, man.
Courtney writes in and says, if number 1 isn't Meatloaf, there'll be hell to pay.
This isn't a list of moves, is it? 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is 8:57.
Guys, Joe Rogan's here. He's going to be coming up in just a few minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm producer Dave.
Why does Dave use that voice when he's the producer?
It doesn't make sense. It makes him sound very professional, he believes.
He tries to be a grown-up, I guess.
Yes.
Yes,
I'm sorry you got caught in traffic, but I'm glad that you're here now.
That makes him feel like he's a professional?
Fire.
Professional right. Mr. Sulu impersonator.
Joe will join us in minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
I want to give you a heads up. This Saturday, Kevin Smith and I are doing our live podcast recording, as we do every weekend, at the Smod Castle Theater right on Santa Monica Boulevard, just off of Vine Street if you're in Hollywood. Come on down Saturday night at 7 o'clock. We'd love to have you stop by. You can get tickets at smodcastle.com. Come on by and join us, because we have a good time, and I have a feeling this is going to be a very good show this week. Last week was good, too. We got an extensive Wobbly H conversation.
Wow, good.
The thing about doing the podcast doing regular radio is you get a little nuts because they take the leash off.
Yeah.
They take the collar off, and you can say anything you want.
We have to be so careful the way we say things.
Yes. And then when you have that freedom, it's a little intoxicating. You get a little giddy. And maybe you overcompensate. I think I do.
You're also drinking.
And I'm going to have a little cocktail. Well, at night. I can't work at night without a cocktail.
I hear you.
So will the Smodcast make you hate doing the Kevin and Bean Show more, or will it be easier for you to take because now you have an outlet for the other stuff that you
want to
do?
I think it is easier. I think I purge myself of all my filth on Saturdays, and then the rest of the week I feel okay. I feel like I'm okay.
All right.
That's great.
I get to binge and purge on the weekends, which is always good. Speaking of dirty thoughts, I know we don't talk about theater stuff very often, especially when
By design.
Especially when you know who's not here.
Right.
But I couldn't miss this story because it comes from London. Keira Knightley is going to be making her West End debut. The West End, for those you don't know, is kind of like what Broadway is to the United States. The West End is to the UK. She is doing a play in the West End that's been around for a long, long time. It's called Lillian Hellman's The Children's Hour, the name of the play. And here's the thing. It's about two female teachers at an all-girls boarding school.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they start to engage in the love that dare not say its name.
I'm with you.
That's what I'm talking about. Saying. They take a visit to the Isle of Lesbos for the summer vacation, if you know what I'm talking about.
And apparently, it's pretty clear.
Keira Knightley will be playing one of the suspected lesbian teachers.
Do they make out a lot?
Children's Hour. No, it's sort of an undercurrent of sexuality. It's not a very blatant play, but it's sexy and it's repression, I find.
Okay.
So no word yet who her co-star will be, but I hope it's somebody hot. I hope it's not like Judy Dench or something, so my penis runs away when I go to see it. I hope it's somebody hot, equally British and equally hot. I love hot Brits.
Yeah.
Kevin, if your next list is the top 10 smallest boobs in Hollywood, you can put Keira Knightley on the list.
Yeah, Keira. Poor Keira. I mean, I wouldn't change her. I wouldn't change a thing about her. But she has not been blessed in that department.
No.
But she's been blessed in other departments.
Yeah. I like her a lot.
That's what I like to say about the new Glee photo layout in GQ magazine. Now, a lot of people at this very radio station, by the way, cast aspersions on the sexiness of my girlfriend, Lea Michele, from that show.
Right.
And I say, if you look at this layout in GQ that she does, you cannot deny that she is sexy. Yes, her nose may be on the biggish size, but she has a lot going for her. She has a raw sexuality plus enormous amount of talent that I find very exciting.
There aren't many people that you can't find something wrong with. You know what I mean? If you're going to look at somebody
and if you want to focus on her nose, you will be disappointed. But she's got a lot else she's offering, including boobs and just sitting spread-legged in the locker room and sucking lollipops at the lockers.
That's what I'm talking
about.
Come on!
What are you talking about?
Oh, get out. We don't need you. We don't need you.
Have you seen the photo?
Negative boobs.
She's pushing her boobs all up. She's wearing a bra.
Have you seen it?
She's got a 12-year-old boy's ass.
Have you seen the GQ layout?
I saw whatever BS picture Bean sent me yesterday.
That was the one of her with the lollipop.
It's her sucking the lollipop at the locker. Well, you got to see the rest of them. She's
no bueno.
Right,
she's
not
sexy.
No bueno. Not needed.
All right, beat it. Tell your story walking, Omar. Tell your story bombing.
I really hate to say it, but I think I'm starting to agree with Omar.
Oh, no. Lea also talks about the fact in Us Weekly magazine this week that she was under a lot of pressure to get a nose job as a teenager. Her mom always told her, no, don't do it. Look at your hero, Barbara Streisand. And Barbara Streisand famously never got a nose job either.
Should have.
No, she shouldn't have.
That's what I meant.
Because they said if she had altered the structure of her nose, it could have affected her voice. And the same thing with Lea Michele. And sometimes, you know, you don't want to screw around with a good thing.
Really? It could have changed her voice enough that it would have been detrimental.
It wouldn't have been the same, that's for sure. You got to protect that instrument. You know what I'm saying?
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's the reason I don't get a penis reduction. Because, you know, sure, it would be
it would
better.
Change its voice?
It would be better for some people, but, you know, my gift would be affected. I don't think you want to affect the gift. That's what I always say. And Lindsay Lohan's camp is concerned that when she faces Judge Alden Fox again this Friday, he may, once again, take a hard stand and throw her right into jail from the courtroom. Because they said, look, they're not going to dispute the fact she violated her probation. Now they have to throw themselves on the mercy of Judge Alden Fox and see if he will allow her to continue her treatment in Betty Ford Center. But he does legally have the right to throw her right back into Lynwood Correctional Facility. And there will be a police escort standing by just in case he makes that decision on Friday at the hearing. So
wow.
They're hoping for the best. I don't think he will pull her out of rehab to put her in jail, do you?
Can he dictate how long she stays in that rehab, though? Can he say, yeah, you can go back to rehab, but you have to do it for 3 months? Or
I don't know what his sentencing...
Yeah,
options are. I know. I certainly know he can put her into jail for violating the probation. I'm assuming he could tack on extra rehab time if he wanted to. He did for the first go.
Yeah,
and they pulled her out early. Remember, they said, "Oh, she's fine."
Yeah,
UCLA said she's good.
She's all good.
She's just a crazy mixed up kid. Give her one of those SCMOD bracelets and just send her on her way. Or SCRAM bracelets or SCMODs. That was the Blues Brothers, isn't it? Today's celebrity birthday is Tom Petty, 60. Still making good music, even at 60 years old, that Tom Petty.
Sure is. Not looking good, though.
No?
Not a good looking 60.
He wasn't a handsome man in his 20s, by the way.
He was an ugly 20, ugly 40, now ugly 60.
Yeah.
Danny Boyle, very talented director, is 54 years old today. Actor Viggo Mortensen celebrates his 52nd birthday. He does have a tail.
Yeah.
He's talented. Once again, you can't focus on the tail. It takes away from the rest of the man's talent.
He's 52?
He is 52 years old.
Looking good.
Yeah.
He's swole and he's handsome. And he has a tail.
He does have a tail.
Snoop Dogg's 39 years old.
Where would we be without the Snoop Man?
Where would we be without the Snoop Man? The only person who ever called him the Snoop Man, by the way,
King is Larry. Said that.
And John Krasinski from The Office celebrates his 31st birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
What's up? This is Joe Rogan. If I had a point, it would be that the age of consent should not be the same. For girls, 18 years is plenty young. Okay? For dudes, 6. I got a big weed stash, pocket full of cash, just seen a big old ass. Ooh, ooh. But ultimate fighting is, it's the actual sport of fighting. It encompasses all aspects of fighting, ground game, kicking, punching, elbows, submissions. I don't smoke pot and do the UFC because I'm paranoid enough when I'm working there. Because when I do commentary for the UFC, basically I'm criticizing a bunch of men who can rape me. That's what I think about. When I'm interviewing Brock Lesnar, I'm asking him questions, and I really want to know the answer to those questions, but there's a background mantra constantly going on in the back of my head going, don't rape me, don't rape me, don't rape me.
Somebody gets hit in the nuts, you gotta see it.
UFC commentator and all-round personality, Joe Rogan.
Hi. Hey, Joe. How are you, man?
What's up, fellas?
When it was taking you 3 hours to get to the station this morning, I bet you were missing Colorado for a minute, weren't you?
I was. That's when I started getting crazy again. I started thinking about moving back to the mountains.
So Joe tweets, I'm on my way to the station.
I tried calling you guys, but I have faulty numbers. I have two numbers that are disconnected.
I believe with Dave is in charge now.
Well, Dave just updated me, so I have all the new numbers.
But then you came walking in yelling about people tweeting.
Yes.
While driving.
It's true.
That's odd.
Well, I only tweeted at a red light, and, you know, I don't tweet while I'm actually driving, but I was watching people do it. It was frustrating me. But I should have been paying attention to the road instead of watching them. But I guess I was, like, looking out for hazards, potential dangerous situations.
Always scanning.
Now the coked-up guy at the party, keep an eye on him. That guy might get crazy and throw something through a window. You know, you don't want to concentrate on him, but you have to. Right. It's like your duty as a man.
Speaking of scary mother effers.
Yeah.
Kevin, you are afraid of Cain Velasquez? Is that what's going on here?
You should be.
He strikes me as, I know he comes across as the nicest guy in the world, mm-hmm. and he seems genuinely kind, but I wouldn't want to be in a room with him. He scares me.
He's a nice guy, but he's got a very intense purpose in this world.
And
he's
that's direct.
Yeah, he's a very focused guy. He's not going to get distracted. He's not out there partying. He's not doing booze and drinking and screwing around and not getting enough sleep and living the good life. There's none of that with that guy. That guy's just a crusher.
That's what I'm afraid of. Yeah. And he's
relentless.
Tell me about Brock Lesnar, because to me, and again, I don't even know. Has he been in here? I think he came in once.
He's done it. He's never been.
I never met him. Seems like it's sort of a put on. Like he's
what's a put on?
His crazy, out of control. I might kill somebody any second. Thing
really?
You know more than I do.
No one has a head like that unless there's a history of massive violence in your genetics. That guy is put on this planet to smash people, and he was doing a bunch of other things his whole life. But really, what he really wanted to do was smash people, and then finally he got into the UFC and he found his true calling in life. That guy's born to do this.
All right, when he's not dismantling human beings, he's killing other creatures.
Yeah,
he goes
hunting. He's like a primal man. What he does is hunting fish. That's his favorite thing. He lives, he's like right out of Central Casting. He lives in the woods in Minnesota, like deep into the woods. And all he does, he gets mad when he's training during hunting season, because all he wants to do is kill animals, eat them, and go fishing. Like, he got sick because he doesn't eat vegetables.
Oh, that's what happened?
Yeah.
Why he got sick?
He just didn't want to. He wanted to stuff more meat in there. he's a lion, man. It's just crazy.
So this
dude just wasn't taking any fiber in. He wasn't pooping correctly.
That's too much information.
It's what it is. It's called diverticulitis, when people don't eat anything but meat. You know, you probably break off giant chunks and swallow them. It's not like he's chewing it down.
He doesn't chew it?
It's just probably an orgy of blood and murder. You know? He probably just eats his kill naked in the forest, you know?
He doesn't even cook it?
I don't know,
he
man.
He eats it raw?
He might eat a little bit of it raw every now and then.
All right, so Brock Lesnar is fighting Cain Velasquez.
Yes. Godzilla versus King Kong,
what
dude.
What do you do? I mean, how do you...
There's two totally different styles. With Brock Lesnar, you've got freak athlete. Like, if you look at his NFL combine numbers, they're ridiculous. They're like super athlete numbers. I mean, he's a real freak, a one in a million guy.
So much
physical
faster
specimen.
Than he appears, that kind of
doesn't
thing?
Make any sense. I've been watching fights since 1997 live. That's the first time I started working for the UFC. I've never seen a heavyweight move like that before.
Really?
In all my days, no one moves that fast. The way he moves is like he's defying physics. It's like he's moving like a guy who's 170 pounds. That's not BS. That's not all hyperbole. Right. That's real.
And so what's the style of Velasquez?
Velasquez is relentless. What Velasquez is this guy who's got this insane cardio, whereas one guy will throw 30, 40 punches in a five-minute round or 100 punches in a five-minute round and be exhausted. Velasquez will throw 500 punches and never stop. The storm never ends. Like, I was talking to his manager, Bob Cook, and we were talking about Kane, and we were talking about this fight, and the guy protested the stoppage of the fight, Ben Rothwell, and he's like, I guess Ben Rothwell thought that eventually the storm was going to subside,
right?
And he goes, but with Kane, the storm never ends.
All right,
the storm
so styles
just keeps
make
coming.
Fights. What's yeah. what's going to happen?
Well, there's also the prediction of the. I mean, there's also rather the style of. It's not just the style of fighter, but the style of athlete. Like, there's the big, huge, powerful super athlete, and then there's the guy who's way smaller than him, but probably can go longer. So it's like, what happens? Does Brock impose his physical strength and his power and speed and get Kane down and smash him early, or does Kane weather the storm, and then Brock can't compete with this guy who just throws perfect technique, perfect leg kicks, perfect punches, never stop, will keep coming at you, has great wrestling, was an All-American, you know, was a high-level national competitor in wrestling and has the most incredible endurance.
So if it's not over in the first round, first 5 minutes.
I'm not saying that because we've never seen Brock get tired. The thing about Brock is, if you looked at a normal guy, like you look at Shane Carwin. Shane Carwin's, 260 pounds as well, big, powerful wrestler as well. But he's not the same as Brock. There's something about Brock. Brock is a real unusual specimen. Brock Lesnar walks around on his hands, okay? He weighs 280 pounds, and he stands on his hands, and he walks around the gym on his hands with boxing gloves on, and he can do it for like 3 minutes. And people that have seen it go, what is that? Like, he's not, he might not just be the best athlete in the heavyweight division. He might be the best athlete in the sport. He's a genetic freak.
How long has it been since he lost, Joe?
Well, he lost once to Frank Mir. He got caught in a leg lock. And Frank Mir's a tricky guy. And that fight is very controversial as well because the fight was stopped in the middle of... He was beating the crap out of Frank Mir. He had him down. He was smashing him. But the referee, Steve Mazzagatti, stood them up and said that Brock Lesnar was punching Frank Mir in the back of the head.
Which is illegal.
Okay. Which is weird. You know, it's like spots that you can punch a guy.
You can hit him in the nose, the eye, the face, the mouth, but not the back of the head.
It's very strange, and I don't know what the science behind it is. I don't know if it's valid. There's a lot of stuff there's a lot of rules that aren't valid. Like, you can't elbow from 12 to 6, meaning you can't come down like in a clock, in the number 12 to number 6 straight down. You can't do that.
But because, you can go sideways.
Yes, but the reason why you can't do that is because they saw some people breaking bricks on ESPN at like 2 o'clock in the morning. You know those ice-smashing demonstrations where the dudes go, yeah!
Sure.
And you go, man, if that hit somebody, that could kill him. We can't allow that. So the people in the commission, they were totally ignorant of martial arts. But, they just saw that on ESPN.
A skilled Muay Thai fighter standing up would crush...
It's this is incorrect. This is not the most powerful elbow. I don't think mechanically, physically.
Hey, those
the way
dudes
this
saw
motion
it on ESPN
is,
late at night.
Well, it's powerful. Right. I mean, if you stand there, a dude can smash you in the head. It's going to hurt. But what I'm saying is that I think that a sideways elbow actually has more power because just the physics of the body, the way your muscles and your bones work, it seems to be like a more fluid movement.
Comes
I think
there's
more power.
Your whole body. Yeah,
yeah, it feels like you have your weight behind it better.
All right, Joe Rogan is here. We do need to take a break.
Elbow science, ladies and gentlemen.
You're going to be at the Galaxy Theater in Santa Ana this Friday night at 8 p.m. If you want to get tickets, you can go to joerogan.com, right?
I don't know, .net, because .com is a real estate agent.
Oops, sorry. Or you can buy some real estate from a guy.
You can buy some real estate. He seems like a nice guy.
Right.
And UFC 121 is at the Honda Center in Anaheim this Saturday, Lesnar versus Velasquez. More with Joe Rogan after this on the Kevin Bean Show. Our friend Joe Rogan in studio with us here on the Kevin Bean Show, joerogan.net. You can, of course, see him at UFC 121 Saturday at the Honda Center of Anaheim. More importantly, though, I think for Joe. Huh?
I said hi.
Hi. More importantly for Joe, I think, is get your asses in the seats to see great Joe Rogan comedy on stage at the Galaxy in Santa Ana. That's going to be Friday night at 8 o'clock. How'd the shows go over in Britain, by the way? Last time we talked to you, you were on your way to London for the UFC there.
London's really fun, man. They really love American stand-up comedy over there.
Really?
It's a lot of fun. They really understand it and appreciate it. And we don't kind of get – their comedy's a little off.
It is a little bit.
It's different. Like when you hear English comedians. Yeah. What did you say? Under?
It's kind of like underplayed.
Yeah.
Sort of.
But that's
and
their style.
That's not you.
No. they like, you know, arrogant American, you know, stick it up your, you know, thing comedy. They like saying things about something that they wouldn't say. They're just more polite and their culture is more distinguished, I guess. I don't know.
So but you stand out more.
Yeah, they like it more.
As a guy who'll say anything.
Yeah.
There is nothing we could ever come up with that's on the internet that Joe hasn't seen. And do you have it wired directly into your brain? How do you have a YouTube channel in your brain that you can just close your eyes and see the channel without being near a computer? How
I'm
do you
just
do it?
I'm a mess. I don't sleep. I do sleep, but there's many times where I'll get on a YouTube journey at 2 o'clock in the morning, and then all of a sudden I look out my window and it's bright out. You know, it's like 6:30, and I'm just watching videos of animal attacks and people falling off mountains. And
wouldn't
you
like to have videotape of like the path that you took from YouTube from 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock?
I guess, but then I'd probably have to talk to a doctor.
Yeah,
someone would have to sit me down and go, "What is this? What's going on?
Why are you doing this?
What is this?
Is this your new favorite guy, Joe?
As a karate expert, I will not talk about anyone up here.
Come on, the red's too
the
damn
red
high.
Too damn high party.
Yeah,
is he the best?
He's a fascinating guy.
He's running for governor of New York, for those of you who don't recognize him, and he's crazy.
Yeah, he's crazy, but he's not Meg Whitman crazy. That's a different kind of crazy. That's a scary crazy, because she might win.
Speaking of that, have you been enlisted by the pro-marijuana
Yes,
people?
I have, but, you know, as a true stoner, I've slacked off and done almost nothing.
I meant to get out there and give some speeches, but I was high.
You know, I've talked about it on my podcast. I've talked about it in radio interviews. For people who don't know, November 19th, there's a real vote, a real chance to vote to make marijuana legal in California, where they're going to be able to sell it.
And how is that different from what the governor did a month ago or so?
Well,
he decriminalized it,
but I think you can still get it taken away from you, and I think you can still, like, you know, if someone comes to your house and they find, I don't think you're allowed to sell it. I think you can have it, and then you get a ticket or something.
Didn't this happen one time before where then it wasn't legal, and then
Legal in Denver. That's one of the things I loved about Colorado. Denver, Colorado, marijuana is legal. They will not arrest you for it in the city. And there's hundreds of marijuana dispensaries all throughout Colorado. And medical marijuana is legal, and then in the city of Denver, just marijuana is just like, it's the lowest priority for cops. It's like, are you jaywalking?
Oh,
jaywalking,
so it's not technically legal, but
they just don't care. Follow it. I mean, it's like they can't really make it they can't make it legal unless it gets voted in.
Right,
you
know? Right.
But even then, the federal government saying that they're going to enforce the federal laws anyway. It gets really creepy.
Why? Barack Obama, I thought he was the young man's president. He's like, what is he, 42 or something?
47 or something like that?
I mean, he's super, super young. He admits to having smoked pot, for God's sakes. Isn't he the guy who has come of age, you know, with the new world and would say, hey, it's time?
I think you think that until you get connected to the machine. I think once you get connected to the machine, you realize that
you owe the machine.
Entangled. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so much BS going on, and there's so many people that have their hand out, and so many people that are donating, and you have to like take their interest into consideration. Pharmaceutical companies, paper companies, all these different companies that don't want marijuana to become legal. And it sounds ridiculous, but the real problem financially is hemp. It's not the drug. It's not the psychoactive part of marijuana. The real problem is that growing hemp fiber right now is absolutely illegal in the United States. But in other countries, it's an important textile.
Right.
And it's like makes a far superior paper. It makes far superior clothes. It's like very durable.
So it's big business industry that's against that?
And it could have been huge in America. You know, the reason why marijuana was made illegal was because of hemp, the textile. In 1935.
It wasn't the getting high.
No.
Oh.
It was the cover of Popular Science magazine that said hemp, the new billion-dollar crop. And it was because they had invented a new machine called a decorticator. And what a decorticator is allows them to effectively process the hemp fiber without using slaves. See, it's
Ariane
Celeste
told us all about this yesterday, and we've already heard this. She already gave us the whole popular science rap, okay?
I think she wears hemp tampons.
but
she's really earthy.
But Joe, let me tell you, do you watch, are you watching the spectacular Boardwalk Empire on HBO? Are you watching that?
No, I have not watched that. Is it spectacular?
It's phenomenal.
But I never even watched The Wire, man. I'm so behind.
Well, you are. But this is all about, it's all about prohibition. This is all about prohibition. And when you watch every week, when you see the feds going in and shaking down these people to figure out where they're making the alcohol and smashing the crates and stuff like that and trying to stop people from selling and drinking alcohol, it looks exactly like 2010 America with pot. Really, it's crazy that you're trying to limit something that can't be limited.
And it's crazy that, well, it's crazier than alcohol, because alcohol, you have to distill and you have to make it. And, you know, and alcohol does have some really negative repercussions. People die from it.
Yeah.
You can drink yourself to death. You can die in a car accident because of it. You know, you can get addicted to it. Marijuana has none of those attributes attached to it. And it's a plant that grows in the ground. It makes no sense. And the only reason why they're fighting it at all, the only reason, is because there's financial interest that donate money to the campaigns of all these different politicians and all these different special interest groups.
So let's say that the president wanted to today say, okay, we're going to change policy. I'd like to introduce a law, blah, 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 blah.
I don't think he can.
He couldn't.
I really don't think he can.
He couldn't do anything about it.
He owes too many people favors. I think it's not that simple. I think everything that they say before they get into office, once they get into office and then they're presented with the real deal, the real way this country works, I think it's way more corrupt and complicated, and there's way more people behind the scenes that have contributed to their campaigns that they have to satisfy.
Yeah.
And for the kids listening, wondering whether they should take that step down toward drugs by smoking pot, look how successful and happy Joe Rogan is. Come on.
I'm a mess.
There's no downside.
Let's be realistic. I'm a mess.
He is a mess.
I'm
That's true.
Half crazy. I wanted to live in the mountains.
Sometimes more
problems.
Than half crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I
they
got
do
real
let
problems.
You have children. And that That's concerns amazing. Me more than anything.
I'm concerned too because my kids are crazy. My
really?
Daughter's insane.
What a
how
surprise.
Can they not be?
She
Come
wails
on.
At the top of her lungs and just runs around the house like a wild animal, and I'm like, wow, where's all this coming from? Oh, me, I'm crazy too.
Pretty
Cage
soon you'll
fighters,
be putting
commentators
YouTube videos of her up being crazy, by the
yeah.
way.
That's going to be the crazy thing if she turned out to be a fighter.
Yes,
Joe
it would.
Is a tremendous stand-up act. You have to see him at the Galaxy in Santa Ana this Friday night at 8 o'clock, and then he'll be working his other job at UFC 121 at the Honda Center of Anaheim. That's Brock Lesnar versus Cain Velasquez, and that is UFC 121. Joe, I wish we had more time with you. The schedule got kind of screwed up today, but you know you're
that
always
was my
welcome
fault.
To the Kevin and Mincha, man.
Thank you,
Thanks
guys.
For coming
I really out. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, man. My soul I get kicked
hey.
Ass. That's all I'm saying.
After he leaves.
Yeah. Yeah. uh-huh. It's the world famous K-Rock at 9:45.
Ralph Garman is here. Our final look at the showbiz beat on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean show. What you talking about, Ralph?
What?
What's that
what's
voice?
The
what's the You sound sad.
What's up with the Parents Television Council?
Oh,
now
what?
Now?
What's up with them?
What now?
This guy, what's Brett Bozell, is the guy's name who founded this group? What's
David Bozell?
What's up their ass?
I don't know. What's it this time?
What show are they complaining about,
Rob? Well, first they got Katy Perry thrown off of Sesame Street.
Oh, that was
right.
them?
Yeah, of
okay.
course it was them.
All
Anytime
right.
there's sex in television, it's them.
Yeah.
Couldn't be more wrong on that one, by the way. There was
right.
nothing offensive
yeah,
about that.
Yeah, and I watched the video. It was so, not offensive.
Super tame, right.
So adorable.
Just, now what?
You're hot and you're cold, you're up and you're down. So adorable. Then they're picking on Glee a ton.
Sure,
first
right.
of all, the Britney Spears episode was borderline pornographic to them.
Okay.
When all they were doing on the show was replicating Britney's videos.
Maybe
basically.
They've never seen Britney's videos.
Maybe not.
I don't know.
Just take a good long hard look.
Yeah.
And then the cheerleaders laying on top of each other in the bed. I know they were pissed off
the
about
two
that.
Two girls just pecking, just fully clothed in their cheerleader outfits, just having a little exploratory fun. Who in high school didn't fool around with a couple cheerleaders?
Me.
Right. but the rest of us did.
And this dude.
Yeah. Now it's they're picking on that very same GQ photo shoot that we've been exalting all morning long. We've been talking about it wonderfully and giving it mad props as it rightly should have.
This is how I run my life. If they're against it, then I know it's something I will enjoy.
Parents Television Council today has released the following statement about Lea Michele and Diana Agron in the GQ photo shoot. It is disturbing that GQ, which is explicitly written for adult men, is sexualizing the actresses who play high school-aged characters on Glee in this way. It borders on pedophilia,
oh.
they write.
They're all in their 20s, right?
By authorizing this kind of near pornographic display, the creators of the program have established their intentions on this show's direction, and it isn't good for families. It isn't good for you, is what they're saying.
Wow.
Come on, these are actresses in their 20s who are beautiful women who are just wearing clothes in a sexy way doing pictures.
That isn't good for you.
That isn't good for you, is what they're saying. Tell them to just stop it. Just stop it.
I don't think you can.
Parents Television Council.
I would love to be able to tell them just to stop it, but...
We have to do something.
It's not even on TV, by the way, which is another problem I have with this complaint.
Yeah, it's a magazine.
It's not like 11-year-olds are reading GQ anyway.
The photo shoot is not in highlights for children.
Right.
Should be. Is that what we're complaining about? I'm confused.
You're missing the point.
All right,
here.
Sorry.
I'm just saying.
Kevin, you let your kids watch Glee?
Yeah, of course.
It's a good way for them to learn about sex.
They haven't become sex-crazed little monsters because they watch people singing and dancing.
They got a lot bigger problems than that TV show.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you as a dad, first of all.
What did you do?
All right.
Where's the samurai sword? Is it under your bed?
With the ice cream?
Oh, where's the strawberry ice cream? Is it under the walls?
All right, listen.
By the way.
They used to have samurai swords. All right, whatever.
Samurai what?
You heard me. Swords.
I want Kevin to have a reality TV show so badly.
We have to revisit the 10 early warning signs of Alzheimer's, by the way.
Do I have them all?
I was looking in the other room. Someone sent me the list of the 10 warning signs. It's like misplaced common everyday objects that you actually need in your life.
Oh, come on.
Having trouble speaking. Memory loss that affects you at work. I mean, it's just ding, 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 ding.
But I've been that way my whole life.
Well, you've been getting Alzheimer's your whole life.
Can you have Alzheimer's when you're young?
I think so.
When I'm growing up?
All right. And let's talk about this dude, Grim LaRogue.
Grim LaRogue?
Grim LaRogue is his name. That's his new name. He invented that name for himself. His real name, by the way, used to be Joe Rogan.
What?
That's a joke?
No, that's his name. That's his birth name, Joe Rogan.
For real?
For real.
Now, we're not talking about the guy we just said.
Not that Joe Rogan.
Okay.
Goes by the name Grim LaRogue now.
Okay.
I don't know if you heard about it or not, but he was tackled when he stormed the field at Yankee Stadium on Monday night. 33-year-old Brooklyn man charged the field attempting to get at Alex Rodriguez on the field.
Okay.
When they captured him, he was carrying 5 photographs with various things written all over them.
Uh-oh.
One of them was a picture of Rodriguez with an X over his face that read, "You have to go, bud. You've ruined too many of our white queens."
Oh, my God.
Uh-oh. What?
He also had a shot of Cameron Diaz that he had written on, "We will be together soon." And he jumped the fence at Yankee Stadium and was running across the field trying to get to A-Rod when security tackled him.
So A-Rod's dating the chicks this guy thinks he should be with?
He's ruining our white queens.
Wow.
Kevin. Can't have him polluting the gene pool.
Wow.
What a creep fest that guy was.
Plus, you know, Cameron Diaz, they're going to be together soon, so that's why he's all cheesed off. A-Rod's standing in his way of his white queen Cameron.
Wow.
Grim LaRogue said.
Wow.
Crazy. I'm not saying all Joe Rogans are crazy, by the way.
The ones we know are.
I'm not saying that.
Two for two, though.
I'm sure the guy with the real estate firm who's got JoeRogan.com is a perfectly rational young man.
We don't know that for sure, though.
Today's celebrity birthday is musician Tom Petty is 60 years old today. Director Danny Boyle celebrates his Susan Boyle from Britain's Got Talent.
We were confused. I'm sorry.
Director Danny Boyle is 54 years old today.
Different person.
Down, see, Mike. The problem is that Bean was encouraged yesterday with his little Fess Parker joke, and now I fear we are in for a long run of inappropriately named musicians who will be
playing. Hey, don't look at me. Blame Omar.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
Viggo Mortensen's 52 years old today.
Right in the file.
Rapper Snoop Dogg is 39.
Judge, preach, tabernacle.
And John Krasinski from The Office turns 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show, the smallest part in showbiz. We're going to be looking for you if you have just the very, just this very
smallest
tiny
part in showbiz, I believe, was Psycho Mike in that porn film. Remember?
Could be.
He had the smallest part in showbiz.
That is true.
Yeah.
We also have Dr. Drew and we have Nick Swarsden in studio talking about Pretend Time. That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.
Don't go away. Cat Corbett's up next. 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock next.